with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And what a busy night we have tonight, without a doubt. You know what? I could probably just start talking now and filibuster for 3 solid hours till my throat was drier than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. Honest to God, weird has gone sideways in the world. Hunter Thompson, bless his name, said when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. The right wing has gone pro. From crazier than a sprayed roach, Republicans dummying up their military history to children dummying up their parents. We have it, to say the least, in rich abundance. We have, in fact, an embarrassment of riches this evening as we get the show underway. Because, of course, you know, it's fitting that we should be so blessed on a day such as this. No, not because it's the second day of June, but because the second day of June just happens to fall on a Wednesday. And we know here at the Horn that Wednesday is ever so much more. Ever so much more than merely the middle of the week, hump day, downhill to Friday. No, 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 brethren and sistren, no, no. Here at the Horn, recognizing my own personal history and failings and all that I learned at the loving knee of the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Baptist church, oh, well, you know, Wednesday's prayer meeting. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, brethren and sistren. Glory, put your hands together. And Mr. Choirmaster, if you would come over and lead us in our offertory hymn as the plate is passing among the faithful. Yeah, that's it. Come on over. Cut it loose, minister of music.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord. Let me hear you say, I will enter the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will enter the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. never said religion should be free.
Oh, mersey dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren. Welcome. Come on in. Just don't stand out there smoking in front of the church. You know how the, you know how it is. You know how the sinners are when they see you a smoking before you walk into the church. Come on in out of that vestibule. Sister, Sister Eula will have plenty of time to catch you up on the doings of her, of her niece what done run off with the Pakistani after the service is over. Get on in here and come on down that blood red aisle. Yes, indeedy. Fall on your knees, sinner. Fall on your knees at the altar and place your hands on the subwoofer and feel that divine, delicious connection to the server of common sense on high. This is the cathedral of high common sense, and I am Bishop, Archbishop, Uber Pope, Bob Kincaid, and it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, Glory. So, brethren and sisters, where do we stand this evening? Where are we in the firmament? Oh, it is a weird, weird world we live in. And sometimes, like I've said so many times before, I feel downright prophetic. Because it was just a couple of nights ago, it was the special, almost four-hour-long edition of The Horn on Memorial Day night, when I mentioned the fact there's some press being had about police in Aceh province in Indonesia who have taken to being the clothing police. And, of course, they are, you know, they're Muslims. And I said, you know, the right wing is, of course, having a field day. Because, you know, there they go. You know, those Muslims. And lo and behold, I was clicking around the electric TV box right before bed last night, desperately trying to fall asleep. And I clicked right across there it was, the 700 Club, that old mannequin from Disney's House of Horrors, Pat Robertson, prattling on. They had a special correspondent on the ground in Aceh province. Isn't that the province that we rebuilt after the tsunami? And by we, Pat Robertson didn't mean you, I, us, the world. He meant his dummied up, faked up, phonied up, ginned up, rubed up, the charity, most of whose proceeds go to, well, the poor. You know how that works out. We're going to raise money to give to the poor, brothers and sisters. Poor me. There you go. But then, so he was, of course, prattling on and on and on. And I thought, damn, I'm getting good at this stuff. That or it's getting awfully easy to predict what they're going to do. And I was immediately reminded of a note because, you know, the initial point that I made on Monday night was, listen, these goobers are going on about Muslims having at women's clothing when there's plenty of weirdness to go around amongst the Christians, too. You know, mean old nuns with their rulers running around and so forth, checking skirt length and so forth. And lo and behold, I got an email from our dear friend Maura up in New Jersey, who considers herself much more of a New Yorker, though, by the way, it's only fair to say. I got an email from Maura simply titled Catholic High School Memories. And Maura said, I was listening to the Memorial Day podcast, and you and a caller were talking about the traditional Islamic dress for women and cross-referencing it to the nuns' habits. Nice play on words, nuns' habits. Good one, Maura. When the conversation moved into the territory of skirt length, I had a 44-year-old flashback to my freshman year of high school. I attended Holy Cross Academy for Young Ladies, and it was situated on 42nd Street between 8th and 9th Avenues in Manhattan Yeah, that's right. It was only two blocks from Times Square. Now, you have to remember that back then, 42nd Street was Porno Perv City. There was actually a whorehouse set up in a storefront five buildings down from the school, the good old Wishing Well Domestic Agency. Thank God I don't have Terrence Trent D'Arby singing Wishing Well, otherwise we'd be stuck with that for a bumper tonight. Most of the students commuted to school by subway and got off the train at the 8th Avenue stop. 8th Avenue stop. That was kind of weird emphasis on the wrong syllable. At the 8th Avenue stop. The nuns would sometimes be down in the subway. God, and I gotta tell you, when I read this email from Maura, I actually had dreams about this mental vision of nuns flitting about in the sodium light semi darkness of the subway stops with their rulers and so forth. Maura says the nuns would sometimes be down on the subway just waiting to catch us getting off the train to see if we were wearing our uniforms properly, i.e., berets on head, skirt length below the knee, and if you can believe it, wearing white gloves. Jeez, that's like a neon light for every freak in Times Square at that point in time. This is before Times Square got turned into a Disney attraction. And lo and behold, Maura says, yeah, like waving a red cape in front of a bull, the Holy Cross uniform caught the attention of every degenerate in the neighborhood. Hey, baby, you want a piece of candy? Walking up the block from the subway to the school front door would sometimes seem as though we were running the gauntlet. Seem as? It was. It was a pervy gauntlet. You know, with nasty old men who sound like Mr. Burns rubbing their liver-spotted hands together and say, excellent. Maura says, sorry to go on and on. The point of the email was to say the nuns would make us kneel to make sure that the skirt hem touched the ground. You know, at least the Muslim skirt police in Aceh, Indonesia, don't have women kneeling on the ground to check their skirt length. Jeebers. If not, the nuns would rip out the hem stitches. Oh, those brutal old rhymes with stitches. Being the intelligent young women that we were, Maura says, and not wanting to hem a pleated skirt again, we all wore suspenders attached to our uniform skirts. When the nuns were around, we would lower the hemlines and then raise them when it was safe. Since we also had to wear blazers, the suspenders never showed. Subversion. Subversion is the natural, organic form of resistance to ridiculous authoritarianism, isn't it? And who would have ever dreamed that something as innocuous, as prosaic, in fact, as a pair of suspenders could be a subversive tool. So, we were responsible for a flashback on Maura's part. But that vision of nuns who were convinced that their young female charges were dirty and prone to sin. Most awful sin, tempting those otherwise. No, they weren't pure, because the whole reason for that is because boys are dirty, too. And it's all sex, and it's all filthy and nasty and disgusting, and there's fluids involved. Yuck! And that one little phrase, I have to thank Maura for that one little bit of consciousness there, that one little line. And not wanting to have to hem a pleated skirt again. It's not wanting to have to hem a skirt again. It's not wanting to have to hem a pleated skirt again. And, you know, I'm a guy, so I don't necessarily think, but my God, you know what the curriculum was like? You know, there were English grammar, essays and so forth to be written, and there was science homework to be gotten and history to be learned and catechism work to be done, maybe, I don't know. And then on top of it all, you know, you got your Latin, 33 new verbs to conjugate. Maybe you're learning the subjunctive, which still just gives me the shaking cold horrors in the middle of the night. And no, Mama, I can't go to sleep yet. Sister Mary Whackbottom cut the hem out of my skirt today because she said it wasn't low enough. Beautiful, innocent young women kneeling in plaid skirts in Times Square to be inspected by nuns in black habits. Woof! Jesus, that's just... And Pat Robertson's worried about the Muslims. Oh, yeah, poor Pat. Out there plucking beams out of people's eyes when he's unaware of the moat that's the size of a redwood log in his own. You're naughty. You're bad. You're a sinner. Your skirt's too short. But that business of having to hem a plea... What fresh hell is that to have to... And I say this to the women in the audience. What would that... To have to hem a pleated skirt? I mean, I would be crippled hemming anything. Hemming way. But a pleated skirt? That's sadistic. That's way past drumming Chuck Connors out of the fort and breaking his sword and ripping off his buttons. That's just twisted. But of course, that's religion in the Western world. That's the religion that's founded upon the Prince of Peace. Nice. So, thanks for that object lesson to Maura, backing up the fact that no, our side doesn't exactly have the moral high ground on not treating women like crap. But, maybe you're inclined to say, hey, Bob, come on, that was then. There haven't been any nuns, making little girls kneel on the pavement in Times Square for eons now, unless they were shooting some sort of really kinked up movie or something. Now, come on, Bob, this is the 21st century, Bob. Every time you think you've got one up on me, I can always come back. I've always got that. Yes. What's going on in Phoenix is bad enough. Phoenix being in Arizona, the whole Arizona papers, please, law business. But there's another one out there, and the church is directly responsible for this one. This is, after all, remember, prayer meeting Wednesday. I'd turn your attention to the Reverend John Eric, E-H-R-I-C-H, Eric, Eric, Erish. Anything but Smith. Let's not hand Bob an easy-to-handle name that he can just run right across. No, I got to ponder whether... But he's such a scumbag, I frankly don't care. You know the story of what happened in Phoenix, probably. Happened recently. It was fairly widely covered. There was a woman who went into the hospital pregnant with an 11-week-old fetus. She was already a mother, 3 or 4 kids, I forget which. Her life was in extremis, and she had the misfortune of being taken for emergency treatment to a hospital run by the Roman Catholic Church. A decision was made, along with a nun. This is the good side of the nuns, not the ones that are all kinky and sex-obsessed and checking the skirt links with rulers and twisting little minds and tormenting. No. This is apparently a good nun, trying to follow church teaching, doctrine, dogma, whatever. But the church had an ethics committee, and the ethics committee, in conjunction with this nun in Phoenix, made a decision with the patient, the mother's life in extremis, they performed an abortion. The procedure they performed, it wasn't a deliberate abortion. The procedure they performed wound up resulting in an abortion of an 11-week-old pregnancy. Here's the happy ending of the story. The mother lived. Her life was saved. In less time than it takes you to say, infallible what? The Roman Catholic Church had excommunicated Sister Margaret McBride. St. Joseph's Hospital in Phoenix issued a statement saying, in this tragic case, why is it tragic? The medical procedures was a success, and the mother lived to go on and be a mother to her children. In this tragic case, the treatment necessary to save the mother's life required the termination of an 11-week pregnancy. This decision was made after consultation with the patient, her family, her physicians, and in consultation with the ethics committee, of which Sister Margaret McBride is a member. The Roman Catholic Church, quick as a wink, excommunicated Sister Margaret McBride. But it gets worse. I referenced the Reverend John Eric. He delivered a screed on this horrible, horrible situation, made more horrible by practitioners of a 2,000-year-old, outdated, misogynistic, morally bankrupt, and ethically dead religion. Reverend Erich, said, she consented in the murder of an unborn child. There are some situations where the mother may, in fact, die along with her child. The dramatic part of the reading is mine. The words themselves belong to that priest of the Prince of Peace. This is recent. Imagine that. There are probably thousands of priests. We know we can name some of them offhand. I'm not going to bother. Who went to their graves completely shriven, last rites, the works. Who had spent their entire priestly careers putting their penises in little boys. They are buried in hallowed church ground, and not even the first inkling of excommunication has been raised in regard to their cases in which they brutalized children. Living children, not 11-week-old, unconscious, unself-aware fetus balls of tissue. Children! And they rest in the bosom of Mother Church. But Sister Mary Margaret McBride, who did the commandments of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer upon whom the church is allegedly founded. She did his work. She fed his sheep. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was naked, and ye clothed me. For inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me. And knowing that she would have to answer that, because the flip side of that coin is, and for inasmuch as you've not done it unto me, you've not done it unto the least of these, you've not done it unto me. She acted out of love, caring, concern, and every good spirit, which from time to time we cannot help finding ourselves noticing in something as dead and outdated as the church. She did a moral thing and saved a life and made sure that little children had a mommy who could come home to them. And the response of the Roman Catholic Church, the response of the Roman Catholic Church was to damn her soul to hell for it. And Reverend Eric says the mother would have been better off dead. Better off dead. Amazing, isn't it? On the one hand, you have rampant rape. Not only winked at and tolerated, but unpunished, and on the other, an act of mercy, which is responded to immediately with the most horrifying punishment that the church can mete out to those who believe its teachings. And by the way, the Roman Catholic Church has a shortage of good and caring nuns. What's that going to do for the effort to bring more into the flock? Canning, sacking one of the good ones. Meanwhile, the guy in the dress says the woman should die. Ouch. You know, there really is a reasonable and rational question to be asked out there. And again, as I've noted before, that using Lottie's analogy from the chat room, this is not asked to the people who practice Roman Catholicism with a rosary in one hand and a dead chicken in the other. But if you're rational, and you live in a universe in which the earth revolves around the sun, yada, 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 in which real laws of physics and so forth apply to everyday life, in which you understand that dinosaurs were not planted in the ground to confuse the sinners, but in fact actually did live millions upon millions of years ago. If you believe that letting a person in a position of the highest trust imaginable in the human psyche, if you believe that that person sexually assaulting innocents is wrong and evil, if you believe that what Sister Mary Margaret McBride did was not only moral and ethical, but Christ-like, a simple question. How can you set foot inside a Roman Catholic Church? Just ask it. Just ask it. Just ask it. Because, you know, we ponder those kind of questions here on the Horn. So that's where we begin with prayer meeting Wednesday. God knows we've miles to go before we sleep, miles to go before we sleep. But we'll get there. We'll take a break right now, though. This is America's listener-supported, emphasis on listener-supported, come on, liberal voice. This is the Horn. culpa mea, maxima culpa. Dedication going out from the horn, a little blue-eyed soul from Hall & Oates to Mother Church. That's Maneater. Oh, sometimes it's just too daggum easy, you know? Aren't you proud of me for not playing the Frank Zappa's Catholic Girls? Aren't you? Aren't you? Just aren't you? Yeah, I knew you were. Let's go to the phones and see what's shaking. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, how you doing?
Matt, what's up?
Well, we got a lot going on. Of course, you were talking about the Catholic Church, and I see from the Mail Online, UK Mail, if you know.
Yeah, because I think the other one's an underwear sales website.
Yeah. U.S. Catholic Church facing uproar after excommunicating nun who saves pregnant woman's life by letting her have an abortion. Yeah, it's causing quite a stir out there. I also have some reports here on the Alabama primary results. Let's talk first about Parker Griffith. You remember him?
Oh, our buddy.
Yeah, I'm working on a little video. I have a couple of technical problems to get past this week, and I have a new video for you. You're going to absolutely love it. It is the video of his meltdown at the town hall.
He had a meltdown?
He had a meltdown. He had a big meltdown. He was throwing red meat to the zombies. And, it's going to be very...
And he won't even have stuck around in Congress long enough for a pension. Man, that's tough.
No.
When you're that bad, that's like not getting the lovely parting gift of a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
It's basically, two completely wasted years. Mr. Griffith absolutely does not get a parting prize. He does not get a copy of the home game. No. Goodbye. See ya. Loser. He was the fourth sitting lawmaker to lose his reelection bid in an intra-party election. And Madison County Commissioner Mo Brooks defeated him 51% to 33%.
So no runoff.
No runoff. It's not even close. Parker Griffith has been destroyed. And we can now have a moment of silence for the career of Parker Griffith in Congress. And that was our...
That was it.
Challenge.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And the next one. Steve Raby won the Democratic nomination for Alabama's 5th Congressional District. That will be the man who runs against Mo Brooks, who defeated Parker Griffith. And Brooks is favored to win this November because of the voting turned out in November of 2008 here locally. We went for John McCain by 23 points.
Oh, God, I've already got the campaign sign, Matt. Mo Raby, Les Brooks.
Mo Raby, Les Brooks. You know what? I'm going to type that down, and I'm going to email that to someone in just a moment here. Mo Raby, Les Brooks. Excellent. Okay.
Excellent.
Excellent. Steve Raby defeated Taz Shepard. He also defeated Mitchell Howey, who I would like to discuss. He defeated a fourth Dark Horse candidate, a fellow by the name of Dr. David Maker. Very nice gentleman, was never going to get anywhere, but Mr. Howey was quite a disappointment to me because he was the young Netroots handshaking candidate, the dark horse, if you will. I really liked him. Everyone admitted that he gave the best speech. Everyone said he had the most charisma, yet somehow he wound up having the least money. And so it was a contest between Taz Shepard and Mr. Raby, and at that point, Mr. Taz Shepard in the last 3 weeks had decided to run some negative advertising. And apparently that negative advertising hurt him more than it hurt Mr. Raby. So, yes, we are...
You know, there's a lot of stuff. There's I've been reading because, you know, it's Alabama politics, and that's almost as much fun as watching a combination of professional wrestling, a monster truck rally, and roller derby all at the same time. This kind of had the smell of a real sort of earthquake in Alabama politics yesterday, didn't it?
Oh yes. Yes, we need to talk about Artur Davis as well.
Goodbye. Bye-bye, Artur.
Goodbye, Artur Davis. Here's what Artur Davis did. And you know what? Hey, Democrats, take notice. Artur Davis ran away from Obama. As a matter of fact, he even ran away from civil rights organizations and black organizations.
Well, how bad a rightward lurch have you as an Alabama Democratic politician made when civil rights organizations, and as you said, predominantly historically black organizations, endorse the white guy?
Not only that, but when that white man wins the election with most of the black vote.
That's what I mean.
See, here we are looking at the definitive proof that that meme, that idea that's been hanging around in the right wing for so long, that black people will vote for any black candidate, that's nonsense. So we have disproven that. This is Alabama, of course. We still call ourselves conservative, but I do have some questions after yesterday's results. It looks to me like actually we're closer to being blue than we think.
Well, yeah, and let's run over a few of those because I've got to do some digging around here. This may well be the last chance I ever get to play one of the Horn's most beloved parody songs. because... Now, granted, it was a Republican primary, but the Attorney General of Alabama was a sitting, hardcore, right-wing, uber-Jesus, religious freak, closet, you know, the classic everything.
Who has now been defeated by Luther Strange, who we sometimes refer to as Lurch. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, what a strange victory. What a strange passing. But, no, I mean, the guy's a Republican, and the incumbent Republican Attorney General lost his seat in the primary. I don't know if folks realize that outside of the really weird Twilight Zone-y politics of the deep South. But that is big.
Roy Moore came in a distant fourth.
Moore. Couldn't even get into a runoff for the Republican gubernatorial nomination. The guy who won the Republican gubernatorial nomination in Alabama is actually an ex-Democrat. He's the guy that they tried to... Well, you did a video based on a little rant that I did about how... You know, what's that? Bradley Byrne? Bradley Byrne believes that evolution is the best explanation for the origin of life on Earth. That liberal didn't quite work now, did it?
Yes, Sparks ran hard on support for a lottery, too. So what we're seeing here is that running away from the president doesn't get you elected, that running to the right doesn't get you elected, and that being a right-wing lunatic is no guarantee.
No. It's, well, there's big doings in Alabama.
I think we're on the cusp of a sea change here. Steve Raby is a very strong candidate. He was holding court last night. There has been some discussion of how the turnout numbers were low for Democrats. I will tell you this. an awful lot of Democrats actually switched. We do have open primaries.
Oh yeah, it's like incest night at the Baptist Church in Alabama politics on primary
and
night.
There has been a lot of discussion of this over the last couple of weeks. People were going to go to the Republican ballot so that they could help get rid of Parker Griffith
and help ensure that Roy Moore didn't get on the ballot.
Yes, that too. Actually, Tim James brought a lot of negative reaction. He is currently neck and neck with another gentleman for second place, and it looks like there may be a recount to determine whether he gets into the runoff.
Are you talking about Tim Wonley Gonna Speak English James?
Yes. Tim James, apparently pandering doesn't get you into first place in Alabama anymore. Who'd have thought?
Consider. If Roy Moore had been running for office in, say, Oklahoma or Arizona, he'd have been a shoo-in.
Yes.
But in 2010 in Alabama, that don't work no more?
No, it doesn't work no more.
Dang.
No more.
No more.
I should tell you, I should remind you that I spotted him at the Tea Party convention. He was a guest at the Tea Party convention. He was signing books and talking to people. So he very much had run further and further to the right. He's one of these folks who...
Well, it is, Matt, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, so I think it's fair to ask, since Roy Moore was God's chosen gubernatorial candidate, how are we supposed to take this? Shall we assume then that God isn't strong enough to beat a turncoat Democrat? Or that
God has a secret plan, I guess.
Or maybe did God turn his back on Roy Moore?
That is my question. Has God given up on Roy Moore? Because you know what else happened today?
Tell me his Ten Commandments rock fell on his head. Just tell me, please.
No,
please make me happy.
Unfortunately, CNN on Dawson Island in Mobile Bay got footage of the first tar balls washing ashore on Alabama's sugar white beaches. By the way, Bob, did you happen to check the Horn website today?
I have not been.
You should go right now. There's a little video. It's about 43 seconds long.
You know, you make me look really bad when you make me say I haven't been.
I'm sorry, Bob, but you, I understand. You're a busy guy. But go to the headonradionetwork.com. Watch my little video. It is sad.
Is this Jesus is watching you?
No.
Oh,
this
okay.
is... BP has murdered SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, yes. BP has murdered SpongeBob. Yeah, yes.
Yes. BP has murdered SpongeBob SquarePants. And also, one more thing. I do need to get into the kitchen here.
Let's see. I
angry,
forget. Did you do these graphics? Did you do this SpongeBob in a sea of oil?
No, actually. I use sound imagery.
Okay. Does this translate to audio, or shall we just play it outright?
Why don't you go ahead and just play it for the audience, because it's just the SpongeBob SquarePants theme.
Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye,
Captain. Okay, hang on.
I can't hear you.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Oh. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Something you wish.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Then drop on the deck and flop like a fish.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Ready? SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants.
Patrick will die too, Squidward. Oh my God! And you know, Agnes, I showed that to her the other day, and she said, "You tell that Matt Osborne he's a bad, bad man."
Depressing, isn't it? Yes, folks, I do apologize in advance at the beginning of the video. I actually apologize for the following.
That's just wicked.
But it's true. This is exactly what's going to happen. You're going to see the sea life coming up out of the water, asphyxiating on the beach to get away from all that oil. Bikini Bottom will be ethnically cleansed.
Oh.
It's the BP On Fall campaign.
God, I hate him. But bless his heart, a congressman from Louisiana stood up in the House today, and apparently he reacted even more poorly than I did last night to Tony Hayward's I Want My Life Back quip. And he said, we want Tony to have his life back, too. Why don't you just go on home and get farred?
I see a headline here. I was going to tell you this a minute ago. It says here, the White House has ordered BP to fund the Louisiana dredging project to put the sand berms up to protect the coastline.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, apparently the White House has ordered, this is the way it's been reported, has ordered BP to fund this project.
Well, we're throwing around orders now. That's refreshing.
Yeah, this is a nice change, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, forgive me if I say about damn time.
Yes, about damn time. There, as a matter of fact, you remember that that moment in Pulp Fiction when Samuel L. Jackson shoots the guy on the couch and then yells, "Say what again?" Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, that's the Obama that we would like right now.
It really is. I will smite thee from... Yeah, that we want him. Yes. Absolutely.
Right. Well, this is not...
That, and we want Tony Hayward in the gimp costume, but, you know, let's not go there that this early in the program.
Yeah. Isn't this a family hour? Yes. Yeah,
quickly devolving away from that, Matt. let's just take it to its logical conclusion. Because just to remind people... going back to Troy King for a minute. Now, Troy King is the Attorney General of Alabama who pushed mightily to make sure that there were no sex toys for sale in the state of Alabama.
That's our guy.
That's our Troy. And then Troy was caught more or less kind of apparently having a little boy toy. And our buddy Loretta Nall clued us into all of this, and it was great fun. And it turned out that maybe Troy was, his family values were a little, shall we say, compromised. And I will forever be in John Fox's debt for this masterwork production of a parody of the great old Roger Miller tune. I'll probably never get to play it again, Matt. So can you indulge me for just a second?
Sure, go right ahead.
It's another horn dedication. It's a long-distance dedication going out to right-wing fundamentalist family values, soon-to-be former Alabama Attorney General Troy King. Hey, Troy, this is for you. From the horn.
My tail's a sail of ends. I'll let you use me till you spend. No regrets. I'll even light your cigarettes. I've got 2 hours of homosexual smuts. Keeps my closet door tightly shut. I'm a hypocrite by all means. I'm Troy King and I'll blow in a car or pulling a train. My marriage vows were. Doesn't match my views. I'm wrong with gay hookers I have found. I'm short but not too big around. I'm a hypocrite by all means. I'm Troy King and I'll blow. I know every man whore in every bar and all of their buddies both near and far. the vows I mock when no one's around to see my tales to say. Your cigarettes I bought. 2 hours of homosexual smuts keeps my closet door tightly shut. I'm a hypocrite by all means. I'm Troy King and I'll blow.
This is my favorite part.
How much? All night?
Give it up for our boy singer, John Fox, on the horn. Ain't that just precious?
That is just fabulous. Fabulous!
Oh, we'll miss Troy.
No, we won't.
No, we won't. But the question is, will Alabama see the light of sexual freedom dawn again?
Or... You know, I think it's possible because it all depends on whether you elect somebody who's going to enforce that stupid law. And Troy King, that was the thing. Yeah, if they want to pass a stupid law, let them. But you know, do you have to enforce it? Is this really worth the time and resources to enforce? Really?
No. No, no.
That's the point. You don't.
But see, the Alabama dildo ban provided us much fodder for, because then there was the Reverend Gary Anderson who was found, you know, in latex.
Well, see, there you go. I mean, it's something you would miss, but nobody else would miss.
Well, you know, and that's what we're grieving for, isn't it? I am that shallow and self-centered, Matt Osborne. I am.
One more race I wanted to report on. Do you remember Dale Peterson?
No. Yes. Yeah. Oh,
Dale Peterson.
The ag.
The Winchester.
Yeah, the ag commissioner with the finger on the trigger. Yes. I'm gonna shoot some arugula.
Yes. Third place.
No runoff.
No, not for him. He's
You mean a model 60 whatever Winchester loaded, cocked with his finger on the trigger, getting ready to blow away a broccoli? Well, what you got to figure, broccoli, is do I feel lucky? No, I feel like broccoli. Bang! You mean it didn't work for him?
No, it didn't work for him. It didn't work for him at all. No, he came in third place, and he is not going to be in the runoff, and too bad. Because, let's face it, another ad from him could have been even more entertaining.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I got it. See, this is another one of those selfish moments on the horn. We really need Tim James in the Republican runoff so we can get a few more thousand hits on Tim James Speaks English on YouTube.
That's correct. You know, it has been seen almost 50,000 times now.
That just blows my tiny mind.
Yeah, it's 54,674, according to my internal statistics page, right here in front of me.
And you know, sometimes I just walk around the house hollering, "Womley!"
You know, that moment never... I've had three people watch it for the first time, just as test subjects, and they always laugh on those.
The Womley and everybody. The Tew?
Yes. And Boa.
Boa. Well, it's the spelling that gets them on the boa.
That's right. It's the spelling that gets them on the boa. But, yeah, it's still your work, man. There were your letters coming out of your mouth.
And
all I do is capture a little piece of it and put some images to it, man. That's all I do.
It was a beautiful thing. And brought the self-righteous, pissed-off Alabamians out of the flippin' woodwork, didn't it?
It did, and not just people from Alabama. That's the funny thing. I got hit by Stormfront people from far away.
Wow, we got noticed by Stormfront?
I had a Canadian white supremacist leaving comments.
No, now stop it. There's no such thing as a Canadian white supremacist.
I'm serious. I am dead serious. Their IFP, their
are their hoods? IFP. Oh, come on! Are their hoods plaid?
I don't know. I don't know. And do they actually burn?
Take off! Take off, Noble Lumpkin, Grand Dragon A. Yeah, hawser.
You just have to wonder if somebody's got single payer health care up there, and how can you have single payer health care and still be a racist? I don't understand that.
Jesus, I don't either. I don't. You know, and there's a near riot going on in the chat room. Lottie has now declared it's official. That's it. I need to write a book. The Conservative Evangelical's Guide to Gay Sex.
On that note, Bob, I'm going to let you go because I'm sure you've got people burning up the line.
I think you better, Matt, because one or the other of us is going to birth an aneurysm if this continues.
All right, man. You take care.
All right. See you, Matt. Bye now. Oh, that's our Southeast correspondent, Matt Osborne. On his way to Netroots Nation, by the way, he did win a scholarship thanks to a lot of help from you guys. See what you can do? Isn't it cool? Osborne, Inc., OSBORNEINK.com, OsborneInc.com. And Matt will be working with us, God will, and the dust storm don't rise, because they ain't got no cricks in Nevada, at Netroots Nation. So we'll take a little break and come back. You've loaded up the phone lines. Let me see. Yeah. I got two lines open if you want to get in line and play in this little sandbox. That's how it all works out. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, it's 304-658-3333, and at a time like this, on prayer meeting, with election results rolling out of Alabama, like rolled out of Alabama, how can I not play this? It's kind of a necessity. Yeah, this here's the horn.
Alabama Jesus, don't come from Galilee. Alabama Jesus, he looks like General Lee. He ain't got no hook nose, he damn sure ain't Hebrew. If you ain't from around here, honey, he won't do dick for you. Alabama Jesus likes his niggers on the run. Alabama Jesus, run off those Indians. Yes, them folks cleared the land, all part of Jesus' plan. Get that money in the hand of the Alabama clan. Well, he says, keep all you have and screw the poor. Take that money that you're making and make it make some more. There'll be a church on every corner till the number is obscene. I love those Bama biddies. They're so pious and so mean. Alabama Jesus, it's about your pedigree. Alabama Jesus, show us that way to me. The proud begat the ignorant, and they're awfully proud to be. They dig for brains, they love their Lord, and they love their family tree. Alabama Jesus, well, he prays at the ball game. Alabama Jesus, was taking me into shame. He don't tie into evolution, high IQs or humanists. He likes some big and beefy, doe-eyed and questionless. Well, if your preacher gets too liberal, talking about that humankind, just drag him out the pulpit, toss him out on his behind. Don't back those local charities like the cursed liberals do. Just judge and moralize and serve your time down in the pew. Keep those those tithes are coming upwards over 10%. When you make good money, that's a lot of Bible sense. Serving in the third world, you'll never see or know. Now it's the parasites cross town, sleeping on Skid Row. And those people on Third World Kitties, when they get hungry, they can pray to Alabama Jesus, 10,000 miles away. Away, away, away. White folks thank the Jesus for white supremacy. The black folks ask their Jesus to make them bourgeoisie. But Jesus knows the danger of a real democracy. So he privatized the education, which serves to bring back segregation. Now he's 10 commandments in a courtroom, and we're schooled about creation in 4004 B.C. The first white man ate some fruit from the tree. And then he moved to Northern Europe to denounce the papacy. Although he likes the Pope's ideas concerning pregnancy. Come to Alabama. Come to Alabama. Say, man. Say, man. Say, man. It ain't the heat. It ain't the heat. It ain't the heat. It ain't the heat. It's the stupidity. It's the stupidity. It's the stupidity. It's the stupidity.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Oh, glory, we are in the middle of a hot one. It ain't the heat, it's the stupidity.
And, you know, I can identify with that a little bit insofar as it's the second day of June, and the Porn Studio Sauna is open for business. Golly Moses, it's hot in here. Oh, someday we'll get a new air conditioner. But, you know, that just goes on the list. That's the someday list. Anyway, 5.5 minutes past the hour, I think we're off to a rare and darn good one. At least it looks like we are. Two lines out of six remain open if you want to get in line. Of course, for all I know, a bunch of these may be busy signals. That's not. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, Mara caused me to flash back to my 40-year-old memory at school.
Were you beset by nuns as well, Susan?
No, not nuns. I was beset by a Puritan of a vice principal whose name was Mr. Gordon. We called him Flash.
Well, of course.
Yes, and our school had these long covered walkways between the buildings. And we would he would have us kneeling on the cement in between the buildings on these walkways.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch, to see if our skirts hit the cement. If they didn't, we got sent home.
What is it with these authoritarian types making little girls kneel?
I don't know. What I thought was really interesting was a few years after I graduated, I found out that dear old Flash got himself fired because he was discovered
In flagrante delicto? Yeah, that Latin term for bed?
Well, he and the librarian of the time were in one of the supply closets, and one of the students walked in.
Lovely.
And apparently they had been getting on for quite a while. So he both he and the librarian lost their jobs. But
well, you know, the kind of story that Maura related, Susan. You know, I think so many of us have some degree to which we can relate, even if we went to public school, because you know, I did. I went to public school.
Yeah, well, that's what this was. This was a public school.
I went to the same public school that Matt Osborne did, as a matter of fact. And I think he was still there when Matt was there. But as it turned, the one and only principal that high school had ever had when I was there was run with a dictatorial iron fist, and he was a member of the Church of Christ. And I think I've mentioned this before. There wasn't any kneeling or skirt measuring or anything. But while the high school memories of the vast majority of America includes a memory of a senior prom, we were not allowed one because our principal, screw that old First
Dancing
Amendment,
was evil.
Dancing was evil. And so we got no prom. And he was a smoker. He was a smoker too. And he would have to come to school. You know, he would routinely throw young teenagers out of school for 2 or 3 days who were caught smoking out behind the gym. But himself, he would have to come to school to smoke because his wife ruled his home with as much an iron fist as he ruled the school. And he was not permitted to smoke at home.
Yeah, one of my other fun memories was, I went to school, this is going to date me, I went to school during a period of time when apparently, this was during a time when pregnancy was considered catching. That's the only thing I could figure out, because the minute a girl turned up pregnant, she was tossed out of school.
Nice.
And there was this one girl that I went to school with, straight A student, never a bit of trouble. And 6 weeks before graduation, you know how schools are, rumors start.
Yeah.
Especially with the girls. Is pregnant. Yeah, whole layer. Well, Flash, being not too bright and having a tendency to go out half-cocked, he tossed her out of school without any corroborating evidence. Just boot her up. Now, this girl had a 4-point average for the entire period of time she was in high school. That was her average.
And he just destroyed her.
Well, no, not really, because she was one of those people who didn't take any crap from nobody. She looked at him, and she went home because he booted her out right there. I was working in the office. That's what type of student I was. And it wasn't 2 hours later, and she comes back with her parents and a lawyer. And you never saw anybody backtrack so fast. Turns out she wasn't pregnant. But I have a feeling even if she'd had a belly out to here after what he'd done, it wouldn't have mattered. But I never did understand that tossing kids out because they were pregnant. Now, what was it, catchy?
Yeah. A lot of brutality. A lot of brutality. And you know, most of it... to one degree or another, Susan, most of it at the hands of some religion.
Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you this. You're going to laugh yourself silly. Donald brought the mail in, and here in the mail is a letter from the Catholic alumni of the St. Peter of Alcantara School.
Wow.
In Washington, New York.
Well, that kind of reminds me of the, because I keep the cup right here just in case, reminds me of the Cornerstone Community Church of St. Mary's Road in Floyd's Knob, Indiana, whose motto is apparently "Need Field Up." I got to take a picture of it just to prove to people that that thing really exists.
Anyway, they want me to send them money.
I'm sure they do.
I'm going to send this. I'm going to.
They got judgments to pay. Are you kidding?
I'm going to send this little goodie back. But there's not going to be a check in there. What there's going to be is a little note to the effect.
Is it one of those postage prepaid envelopes?
No.
Oh, you'd have to.
But I'm going to.
They're not worth your stamp, Susan. They're not worth your stamp.
I'm gonna do it anyway because I'm pissed. I'm going to reference those Bible verses, and I'm going to say, "You tell me why I should send you money when you're busy tossing out people like Sister Mary or whatever her
Mary
name
Mar-
is.
Mary Margaret McBride." Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I'm going to tell them, because of that, I wouldn't pay you, I wouldn't support you people to save my life.
Nope.
They must have bought this.
No, they bought a list from somebody, but I hope it didn't raise Donald's blood pressure too much.
Oh, and here is a giggle for you. Representative Tom Cole. On the oil spill.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. He is, of course, from Oklahoma. Yeah. Which has more freaks per acre.
Yeah, is this the an act of God? Is it an act of God?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's real sickening.
I swear, I really want to pull off and... Anyway, as for the Jeebus is watching you picture, I claim you can blame me for that. If you look real closely at what Jeebus is watching.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. I caught that.
Well, he's watching something.
Yep. Adult videos. Well, you know, I mean, even Jesus needs a break, right?
Yeah. Everybody's got to have a little giggle every now and then. One other question. It has nothing to do with religion, but I thought I'd ask it up here. Have you noticed in all of the coverage of this Israel thing, the one thing that they're very carefully making go down the memory hole is where that ship was when it was boarded.
What, in international waters?
Uh-huh. See, if you're a Somali who doesn't have any money and you're starving and you don't want your fishing grounds fouled by conglomerates dumping their waste and you go out and appropriate ships.
You're a pirate.
You're a pirate. But
if you're an Israeli,
and you're white, well then, my God.
Well, it's the same. You know, it's the same thing as with Katrina. Picture of white people stealing stuff, foraging. Picture of black people stealing stuff, looting.
Looters. No. But, you know, to me, it's piracy. I don't care what they say. You board a ship, it's still piracy. And as far as I'm concerned, those people on that ship had every right. If they'd had AK-47s to puncture those people with everything they had. You know, I keep hearing the outrage, you know, that they were being pounded on with iron bars. They're lucky they didn't have cannons.
But the whole thing, the whole point was that there was nothing there that could have possibly been used as war materials in Gaza. Unless...
Well,
if you take that cement mix and you make it into concrete and you make little balls out of it, then you can throw little concrete balls at us.
Or, you know, use a chunk of rebar, apparently.
Then again, that's the whole point. This is, the Israeli response is nothing but pure, unmitigated, shameless paranoia.
And piracy.
And that leads to things like piracy. Exactly. Susan, good hearing from you, dear. Have yourself a wonderful evening. And we will talk soon.
Okay, and check out what Governor Brewer has claimed.
Oh, I've got it. Yeah, I'll believe me. It's in the stack. Trust me.
Yeah, that about made my head come off. Give my love to Agnes and the kids.
Will do. See you, Susan. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And onward we roll merrily along. No, not there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hey, Jim.
Well, good evening. How are you?
I'm pretty good. A little warm in here, I must say.
Well, I think you probably need one of those funeral home fans they used to pass out at those churches. You know which ones I'm talking about?
Yeah, with the little wooden handles and the, yeah. I do believe I'm getting the vapors. Yeah, that one?
Yeah. Lord have mercy. I don't know where to start other than the fact that, number one, I'm looking at this thing about this Roman Catholic nun who was excommunicated.
I mean, they did that on the double quick, Jim.
Now, here's the reason for her excommunication. Listen to this. Quote, an unborn child is not a disease. The end does not justify the means. Olmstead, that was the bishop who did it in Phoenix, Arizona, said in a statement to the Arizona Republic in his newspaper this past May. And he goes on to say here, critics are arguing McBride's punishment is a double standard. Many are pointing out that it has often taken years for priests who sexually abuse children to be even reprimanded, let alone excommunicated. Which dovetails on exactly what you said earlier.
Well, yes. I mean,
these guys have gotten away with absolute murder, with child abuse, rape, sodomy, whatever you want to call it. Horrible things. But yet this woman makes a command decision in accord with established medical procedure whose main function is to save a life, and because of an 11-week fetus, she is excommunicated. And in the eyes of the church, cut off from all Christians.
She can't be buried in hallowed ground.
I mean, you are completely thrown into outer darkness by the terms of excommunication.
And the sad thing is, for the people who take that stuff seriously, that's really painful.
Yeah, they do. They really do. And I honestly don't understand how any rational person could. And I have thought about it. And of course, I belong to a church, and they call us Catholics who flunked our Latin. But we are not that stupid. We are not that rotely superstitious. And we are not that hidebound by some Roman dictator or the dictatorship of some guy who is an archbishop or a bishop who can determine the spiritual fate of another man's soul. That is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard of in my life.
And I think for me the thing that makes it even, it's mean. It is literally anti-Christ conduct. If you buy, and of course, this is not the place for the whole theology, but if you buy into everything that Christian theology teaches about the nature of Christ, then what the church just did to that poor woman is literally anti-Christ conduct.
Bob, how many times have I said over this program in years past, these people will labor like scholars concerning the pedigree of their own intolerance, and every one of them would have snored right through the Sermon on the Mount. How many times have I said that?
It's the gospel truth, not to be facetious, but it is, Jim.
And I've said that more than once on this program, too.
Yeah, you have. And you know, wander right past the Sermon on the Mount, wander right past, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me, and then start prattling on about, well, we have to follow church teaching.
Now, here's one other thing that will blow your mind. I was speaking with a Roman Catholic a couple of years ago, and I've had a tangential relationship with this person, and I basically terminated it because I just can't deal with some of the stuff that she says to me. But she told me that she had gone to a workshop one weekend and had gotten a certificate. And she said, that certificate will get me out of purgatory.
They're going to put it in the casket or what?
I didn't know what to say. To tell you the truth, I was so flummoxed by what she said, and I said, will you please send me a copy of the certificate?
Absolutely not. You didn't go to the seminar, Jim.
Right. And, you know, but for someone to believe that they could get a certificate that said that they would guarantee they would not have to spend one day in purgatory, my reply to her was, number one, I don't believe in purgatory. Number two, I think the whole thing is full of shit. That's exactly
Well, it's a construct.
Oh, it is. And I mean, you know, when you have people who actually believe that stuff and how they do it, I don't know, unless they are just brainwashed. I mean, the communist China and Soviet Russia probably got their lessons in how to brainwash people from the Roman Catholic Church. I know Hitler patterned a lot of his stuff on the organization of the Roman Catholic Church. He certainly did.
Well, and so did McDonald's, frankly.
That is enough on that subject right now. As far as this guy in Alabama, is he the one who is running against having sex toys and blow-up dolls?
Yeah, stuff? That's the attorney. The sitting attorney general of Alabama got beat in the primary. And he ran on a profound platform of we're going to end no more satanic dildos in Alabama.
And I'll bet you UPS and FedEx probably was delivering all kinds of stuff to his house that had inflatable women because that's probably.
Well, I know that at one point he was in possession of a blow up pig because I know who sent it to him.
A blow up pig?
Yep.
Well, you know, maybe he needs to hook up with Sue Johansson. Have you ever seen her?
No.
She is the lady who does sex talks for the first half hour of her show or first half 45 minutes. And then she brings on all these rubber toys and stuff like that. And honestly, they're rated on a hot brick schedule, which one is the hottest brick. And some of these outfits that people wear, they look like Borgs out of something I'm starting.
Well, what do you think that dude looked like? You know, the Reverend Pastor Gary Anderson. I don't know if you remember the story or not, but, you know, this is a guy who was a close associate of Jerry Falwell and went down and became a youth minister at some Baptist church in Montgomery, Alabama. Went on to become the dog, the main guy, the preacher of that same mega Southern Baptist church. And then his wife went away on vacation, the kids weren't around, and they sort of found him wrapped up in three layers of rubber, with a ball gag in his mouth and sex toys in places that bear not go any further describing where they were. Dead.
You know,
dead.
I don't understand where people get these fetishes, and I don't want to understand because it's not my position to understand. I'm not a clinical psychologist or a psychiatrist. And I just as soon not know. I guess the kinkiest thing I've ever done, I can't say that, but when I was in like the fourth or fifth grade, I had a friend of mine who had stolen his sister's compact and had a mirror in it. And he said, why don't you stick this on your shoe or tie it on your shoe and pull up this girl's dress on the playground and see what you can see? Well, I did. Well, that girl was about 2 feet taller than yours truly, and she did have on a pleated plaid skirt, and she also had a huge pleated metal lunchbox. And when the sun went up in her eyes and she saw what I was doing, she hammered me in the ground like a peg. And I had all over the top of my head that you would like, I mean, even my mother said, your hair looks funny. And I said, I got hit in the head with a lunchbox. Of course, it all had to come out. And
it was over then.
Huh?
It was over then. Once
Father just started laughing. He just said, oh, my God. He said, well, I guess you've learned your lesson, and you don't need to have any punishment any further. Don't put any more mirrors on your shoes, particularly if you can't outrun them.
I'm sorry to laugh, Jim, but that's just precious.
Well, I thought you might appreciate that, but, I mean, good Lord, when I hear about some of these things that have gone on in these parochial schools with these nuns and their rulers and their warped versions of sex and stuff like that, it's little wonder you've got people who have come out with such horrible hang-ups and terrible feelings of guilt about something that is natural and beautiful. I mean, it goes beyond the pale. It really does.
Without a doubt. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, that poor slob in Montgomery didn't need to die. And,
no.
and we wouldn't be talking about it if it was just the fact that, you know, that's what he liked to do. But the fact of the matter is, it's the fact it's that he liked to do it and lived inside such an oppressive, repressive regime, religious regime, you know, because those Southern Baptists, you know, they may not have the incense and the lace dresses and the Prada shoes and the hats and cigars and stuff, but when it comes to authoritarian repression and sexual hung-upness, Roman Catholic Church got nothing on them.
No, they won't make. They want people to feel guilty that it is dirty, that it's something not to be talked about. They used to promote ideas like if a girl kissed a boy, she'd get pregnant, and all kinds of stuff like that. And if you masturbated, you'd go blind, and all your children would be idiots. Remember all that craziness?
Why do you think I wear glasses? I'm a Southern Baptist recovering, Jim. You know, I got out just in time.
Well, Bob, sometimes you just got to take things in your own hands.
Well, amen, you know. But seriously, I remember being a kid in the Southern Baptist Church, and you know, there are all these upright, you know, deacons and their wives and the nice clothes and Sunday. Y'all, it was just terrible. The hypocrisy just flowing like waves through, you know. And, you know, our sanctuary had movie theater seats instead of pews. It was real comfortable, easy to go to sleep. And you know, then he'd say, well, why was Deacon so and so with Mrs. such and such? I saw him down to the park last Sunday when we. Shh! Don't you talk about that. That's none of your business.
Sounds like you came from a veritable Peyton place, right?
Absolutely. Well, if you grew up in a Baptist church, you came from one of those. And Lord knows what went on in the Church of Christ made us look like Unitarians. You know, I'm not kidding. The place I came from, you know, people talk about the Baptists were the liberals. That's the truth, Jim.
Well, Bob, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it for a bit. And I thank God I wasn't exposed to that. I really do.
I mean, you want to talk about some of the awfulest caterwauling you ever heard in your life? I mean, flatten this and sharpen the other. Wait till you get around a Church of Christ a cappella choir going at it.
No, I would just as soon hear a bunch of cats out there yowling.
My money's on the cats as far as staying on key.
Probably.
I mean, because their doctrine, their dogma, the Church of Christ doesn't, and I'm not talking about the United Churches of Christ, like the liberal, no, this is a different bunch. But their doctrine and dogma says they can't have so much as a pitch pipe, and you can tell. You know, because there's one verse in Psalms that says, sing and make melody in thy heart. And that means they can't, not even a kazoo.
No instrumentation whatsoever.
Nothing.
Well, that's a new one on me. One other thing, and I know you've got callers stacked up. I understand now that BP has another oil rig called the Atlantis.
Yes, they do.
In very bad shape, or it's not been properly fitted out for safety precautions and measures. And one man said tonight that if that particular rig would go, it would make this one look like the blink of an eye. And I just certainly hope that they can will exercise means of prophylaxis and try to, you know, secure this thing and install some type of redundancy factor as far as safety is concerned. Because, you know, here's the thing, and like I'm speaking longer than I wanted to. Since in the past 36 years, the number of Class 3 to 5 hurricanes has increased 54%. Now, if we get one of those things brewing down there in that Gulf of Mexico, God only knows what's going to do with all this oil and all of these chemicals that they've been pumping in there, because it's going to go straight on up the Atlantic seaboard.
Doesn't it get sucked up into the hurricane and moved elsewhere? I mean, isn't that how a hurricane works?
Well, yeah, but that and also The waters are, you have storm surges and things like that that will carry all this stuff far beyond wetlands and further up the coast. And it only takes a hurricane a day and a half to move from Miami to New York Harbor. Okay?
Yep.
And that was back in 1938 when they had that terrible Category 3 hurricane that literally destroyed parts of Long Island and Jamaica Bay and you know, certain boroughs in New York City.
Yeah, on up into Rhode Island, too, wasn't it?
Probably, yeah, I'm sure. It just ruined everything. I know they had a story there about Katharine Hepburn, who had a beach house, and she was nearly swept away by that thing, the actress. But nonetheless, it was a very bad hurricane. They did not have proper warning, but it did state that these hurricanes, they can move quickly. When they are centered between the Continental and the Bermuda High, they can just skedaddle all the way up the eastern seaboard in less than 36 hours.
Well, I know it's strictly anecdotal, but Jim, did you see that photograph of the thing that happened in Guatemala City a couple of days ago?
No, sir, I did.
You know, the Pacific hurricane season starts a couple of days ahead of the Atlantic one, and no sooner was it started than Central America just got whacked. And it rained so hard and softened the ground so much that an entire city intersection, including a three-story building...
Was a sinkhole?
Well, it's being called a sinkhole. Yeah, 330 feet straight down, clean as a whistle.
Yeah, I saw that, and they were telling people, this is not Photoshop. This is real.
Yeah. And you know, my guess is, although I haven't seen much more written about it, you know, that whole area is dotted with cenotes. You know, natural freshwater, deep wells, you know, that kind of thing.
They use them for human sacrifice.
Yeah, some of them, absolutely. And I guess, but it was sufficient to open that up?
Yeah. It apparently is.
And I go back to this notion that, and apparently Philippe Cousteau said it first, even I didn't see it, so I didn't steal it, but he said, you know, we're dealing with waters that have massive dead zones in them. He said there's a dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico already the size of New Jersey, where there's no oxygen to support aquatic life in the water.
Right.
And that kind of goes hand in hand with what I've been arguing for the last couple of days, Jim, and that is this thing would be a horror if it was happening to a healthy ecosystem or a healthy aqua system. That's not what this is.
It's one that's already damaged severely.
Yeah, it's severely compromised.
Severely, exactly. And, you know, there it is.
And the thing that drives me absolutely nuts that's being pointed out to me by David in Tennessee and reminded of me, most of the countries around the world that allow this deep water drilling require the presence of the relief wells before the main well can go in.
Precisely.
But we had 8 years of Five Deaf Dick Cheney and his oil industry roadshow. Cripple and you know, the entire message machine that goes around all of that saying, well, you know, regulation is bad and government can't do anything right and government needs to get out of the way of business. Well, government got out of the way and here we are.
Exactly. And the government that these people so put down is the only thing anybody can turn to anymore. I mean, now they're having to bring into any, you know, I don't care if they can bring Esther Williams and a Buzzy Berkeley show of Million Dollar Mermaids in there. For God's sakes, try to correct the situation and clean it up, or not clean it up, but at least stop it. And then they're bringing in James Cameron, who has a lot of experience with underwater diving. I'm sure they're going to bring in Robert Ballard and everybody else who has a lot of expertise in working at things at depths of that nature, and I hope to God that they can solve this thing and plug it off. And as far as that Atlantis thing is concerned, need to shut it down because it produces like 2,000 barrels of oil a day, but they can shut it down and drill a secondary well into it and install necessary safety measures. if I had my way, they wouldn't have any of those things out there. I mean, they just aren't worth it in terms of what they're going to do. But you've got these people like Sarah Palin and others who say drill, baby, drill, and some of the Democrats, too. They're just as guilty as sin on this issue as well. And I hope we can learn a lesson from this. I hope we do. God knows I do. But if that Atlantis thing should go, my Lord, I don't know. And if you do you know how many different types of whales they have out there in addition to these ones on platforms?
Oh, there's a whole toxic candy store of them.
Like 10 of them, 10 different types. Some as dangerous as this one.
Right, and that's basically what that boils down to, Jim, is 10 different kinds of potential crises.
Exactly. And God knows I hope that they will learn from this, just like I learned that you don't put mirrors on your shoe and stick them under a girl's dress on the playground. And that's all I got to say, my friend.
Man, you brought it 360, Jim. That's beautiful.
Take care and have a good evening, and I hope you have a good rest of the show.
Thanks, Jim. Take care.
Good night, sir.
Bye now.
Bye.
I'll tell you what. Jim can do some storytelling. And you know, yeah, 10 different kinds of whales. You know, that's not 10 different kinds of whales. That's the 10 different kinds of whales with maybe 100 different kinds of potential disasters. Yeah, this is working out nicely. Hey, welcome to the program.
Guess what?
What's that?
That saw, it's not working.
Saw not work?
No, the saw is not working because apparently it's broke off on some shit that they shot down there earlier. Remember that?
Oh, it hung on a golf ball?
Yeah.
From the junk shot?
Right. I mean, you know what? If this wasn't so damn serious, it is like the theater of absurd. I've never seen anything like it. It's some sort of horror show, slow-moving horror show. And these poor people in Alabama, I know you was going on about Alabama, but you know what? They taking photos of things and trying to document what was there because it's coming. What does this sound like, Bob?
Sadly, it sounds like a Three Stooges short, but it ain't funny.
It's not, but it's really frightening. You have all these people all over the beaches in Alabama trying to document some shit, which isn't a bad idea, but this is what we've been reduced to.
And you know what's kind of grave, Sandra? You know how they said that the Vietnam War was lost when Walter Cronkite said we couldn't win?
Yeah.
Yeah, that great historic moment.
Mm.
As silly as it may seem, Sandra, Barack Obama may have just gotten one of those. Because when you've lost in 2010, when you've lost John Stewart, you've lost.
Yeah, I said, had you seen that before?
No, I hadn't. That's why I raised this. I just saw this link that you sent across. You know, how much heritage and basketball bullshit do you have to do in a month? Get back to the mother effing spill.
Right. That's why I put it, oh, dear God. Because it's like, yeah, no. It's serious. I mean, I understand he has to make light of it, but no, that is, you're right. That's a problem.
Well, and that's the thing. That ain't necessarily making light of it.
Well, I'm just saying, though, but I mean, and when he whipped out the comparison to the health care, I'm like, oh, no.
I know. But look, you know, are we really that surprised? You know, as John Stewart noted, you know, the diamond saw was number 6 on the list after top hat, top kill, top can't, junk shot, mud, golf balls, and the diamond saw was 6th on that
right list? Yeah, you should have done that shit first. No, exactly.
Because if what you say is true, if they'd done it first, it might have worked because the golf ball wouldn't have been down there to hang up the damn blade.
Right, that's what I mean. I was like looking at that and thinking, oh, dear God, it's horrible. And you look at those four people running around like, you know, scared, whatever, taking photos, documenting, getting that last shrimp, walking along that beach for one last time.
Don't you think if I had the wherewithal to get, I mean, because that's my beloved stomping grounds.
Right. No, I know you from down that way. And it's just sort of like, 'cause it's coming, and I guess some huge whatever. And these poor people thought they might have, you know, been spared, you know, the whole whatever you do when you're trying to pretend something ain't happening. You know, I know how it is. And I just, I mean, I can't even wrap my head around it because you got Florida begging BP, help, 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 it's coming, and they getting crickets. You understand? They getting crickets.
And yet, you know, and they, you know, there's Tony Hayward, who found time for a little mea culpa today. I don't know if you noticed it. I made a hurtful and thoughtless comment when I said I wanted my life back. When I read that recently, I was appalled. Really? He was, Sandra, no shit. He was appalled when he read his own words that came out of his own mouth.
Yeah. Well, his, you know, he don't know what the hell he's doing, but he know when he lose $75 billion in a month worth of value, he know what that is.
Oh, I saw that little piece on Rachel last night that with the, you know, with the little EKG looking bar graph of BP's profits and on the London Exchange, and all of a sudden in like 15 minutes it did the fat finger thing where it went and nobody was hollering fat finger about that one.
Oh no, but see, let me add something to it. Did you, by the way, Goldman Sachs had just happened to sell some huge amount of their stocks. A few weeks, you know, a while ago.
No.
Last quarter. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Well,
they sold 44% of their BP holdings. That's really not normal. Remember when them towers went down and someone had, like, shorted all of the airlines?
Right. Yeah, that one still hasn't been thoroughly explained.
No, it ain't. And it's, and, you know, who knows? I mean, because I know these in the, these places, they sell and buy all the time.
Well, did you see that story? What?
No, I'm just saying, but you know, it's Goldman Sachs. It's so hard to think that it's just a coincidence. Anyway.
Did you see that story a while back? Maybe you sent it to me about the fact that these big investment houses took to hiring online poker players. Did you see? Was that yours?
No, I don't know about that one.
Well, I couldn't when I saw that red line going, you know, that was BP.
Mm.
I thought about it because I saw a story a couple of weeks back. I couldn't find the link to it if my life depended on it. But what it boiled down to was some of these investment banks, instead of hiring your typical Harvard MBA types, were literally hiring guys who had been very, very successful at playing online Texas Hold'em.
Is that from the same constituency that the Army uses and the Air Force to fly drones?
I'm thinking so. You know, pajamas, mama's basement. Yeah.
Oh, good God. No, I missed that story.
And, you know, maybe those are the guys who are going, BP? No, that's a deuce and a seven in separate suits. I'm out of this. And you wonder. I mean, that's the thing, Sandra. You find yourself, you can't do anything but wonder.
Oh no, I don't know. Listen, you know, if you're just an average investor, you know, you'd be a damn fool to be playing in this market.
You don't have a prayer. You're a rube. You're a mark. Where do you think, or, you know, Goldman Sachs unloads all that stock? Who do you think picked it up? The rubes. The rubes did.
Right. I mean, it's not even a reasonable secondary market anymore. It's all a nightmare if you just don't do it. You know what I'm saying? I just look at the stock market now, and it's just sort of a joke. And I, you know, no. Not when I read stories like that. That'd be, you know, it's like, come on, yo. The shit is so rigged. It's not even, they don't even have no pretenses no more.
And it took, you know, it took Tony Hayward a solid 24 hours to realize that his words were hurtful. I mean, he jumped out there with a first class mea culpa, but it took him 24 hours. And that, you know, and this is the genius business class. No, maybe that's why they're hiring the online poker players.
Well, no, obviously what it tells me is this sort of parallel, you know, opulent universe these folks occupy, and then we get a look-see at them, and it's like, ooh, shut up, go away. You know what I mean? Go back. because for someone put a cap in his ass. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm guessing he's not walking around on the Gulf right now down with those, because, you know, them rednecks down there can get a little testy.
Oh, no. You know what? No. I think at this point, those four people down there, remember when Dick Cheney was down there and someone cussed his ass out?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
That was funny as hell and was funny. I think them people at this point is all NRA first, later. He got to have bodyguards for days. If he, I don't even think he's going to come back.
Reckon they've hired them some Z or Blackwater or whatever the hell they're calling themselves lately.
No. I mean, it's so sick. And the thing I'm wondering about is, why is this man still in that position?
And I don't know.
And it's like, and then I think, oh, that's right. Shareholders are like about a step up from us at this point.
Well, that's the absolute truth. The idea that there's any sort of democracy going on inside a corporate shareholders meeting is about as, you know, it's about as democratic as, you know, the democratic process inside the Republican National Committee or maybe Saddam's Iraq.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. But the thing is that on a more serious note, you know what? Even I'm shocked at how impotent the government has become, I have to say. You know, I'm a sort of active observer of it all, but I'm like, Jesus, this is, wow. I don't even know what to make of it. It's so out of control. Yet and still, I really don't get a sense of urgency, at least from my peeps. You know what I'm saying? People I know, they just...
No, what there is a sense of fatalism, Sam.
I don't know what the hell it is. Like, you guys are all in a fucking daze here.
It's,
like, this sort of sense of, oh, well, it's hopeless. It's like, oh, my, you know.
Yeah, David from Tennessee pointing out, there's a shrimper down there with about my age, he says, with a rusty Harrington and Richardson in the old 38 size that can still hit a cantaloupe at 50 feet. Careful, Tony Hayward.
Oh.
But you know, I don't know. Honest to God, I don't know if... I don't know if the American people have that in them anymore.
Well, I don't know either. I think that, and the thing is that I.
I mean, you know, there were vast that the internet was practically choked to death the other night with expressions of extreme disgust at who won American Idol. I'm not kidding. You know, it was a total miscarriage of justice.
Well, and also, you know, I keep going back to this book I read ages ago, Bowling Alone, Putman.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and it's just sort of, you know, his whole thing is all about civil society and just the total breakdown in the U.S. And it's just sort of, you know, I just kind of keep thinking that, yeah, the sort of individual malarkey has been shoved and everything is so niched out, even the internet, which... I hate to say it, it's not as widely looked upon as, you know, we probably would like it to be. And I just think that, you know, people just, they really are quite isolated, I guess.
And it really is all over this country, Sandra. I've talked about the fact that, you know, when this 80-year-old falling down house I live in was built, there was a real community here. You know, there was a little store out the road. There were little tiny communities, little places, here, Ramsey and Hopewell and so forth. And they had little communities around them. They all had their own post offices. And everybody knew everybody. And, you know, it was sort of clannish and insular. That's clan with a C. But by the same token, people worked for each other's own good. David in Tennessee, another example, sent me a story of the previous floods of the rivers in the Nashville area, because what happened in Nashville was not an isolated incident. And, you know, that story broke today. 1,800 workers at Gaylord Opryland Hotel getting the temporary boot till August at best. Yeah, that's going to be great for the economy there.
Nice. That's charming.
And but the thing is, the most interesting thing out of the story that David sent me was that in previous floods, like in 1840-something, okay? I mean, we're not talking about Roosevelt era and all that, you know, communism. But in 1840-something, and granted it applied to white people and not people who were personal property, and that's the old mother thing, but Nashville flooded, and it flooded badly, and it wiped a hell of a lot of people out. You know, as in homeless, got nowhere to live under the burning, blazing sun. And in 1840-something, in Nashville, Tennessee, the government came up with what was then the princely sum of $500 per householder to rebuild.
That's a hell of a lot of money.
No kidding.
That's a lot of damn money. Listen, no, I think that this
is... But that don't happen anymore.
No, this is the crux of the problem. And why in the world should Obama or any other sort of politician give a rat when there's no agitation from any corner, really? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't have, this isn't, you can't be an individual for this sort of stuff. You know what I'm saying? The sort of Ayn Rand BS don't hold water here.
It's all a lie.
And it's just a joke. And if you're, and you know, the people screaming for the government, it's like, oh, wait a minute. We are the government. Right?
And that doesn't dawn on, you know, yeah, it dawns on people within the Horn family and the so-called liberal America, but it doesn't dawn on most of American Idol-watching America. It doesn't.
Yeah, see, you lose me on that, because I know, you know what, that is about as remote as Kathmandu is, that what you're talking about.
Me too, but I mean, but you know, I'm connected just tenuously enough to have noticed that, you know, oh, Jesus, there was a big backstage thing, and Simon said his farewell, and who will replace Simon? And I'm sitting there watching all this stuff, and it's like, Jesus Christ, Mr. Orwell, please.
Yeah.
You know, Fahrenheit 451, and the TV is on all four walls, and it talks exquisitely and expressly to you. We're living it. Because people actually invest their own senses of self-worth in that kind of tripe.
Yeah, no, I am not disagreeing with you. I am just sort of, like I said, you know, people I know look like they're in a daze. But, of course, then again, maybe it's just me. You know, I've been told many a times, oh, my God, Sandra, you know, get a grip. You know, I'm all, you know, because I'm just kind of like in this constant state of like, what the F? And sometimes, you know, I'm doing music or I'm doing other things. But most times I'm in the mode that I'm in when I'm talking to you.
You know what drives me batshit, Sandra? Like everything doesn't. The August 28th project or whatever date it is that Glenn Beck is going to reveal his secret plan that was delivered to him from the mouth of God to his ear for the 100-year plan for getting America back on track, and we'll be right back after this message from Buy Gold Now.
Lord, is this that thing at the Lincoln Memorial?
Yeah, that he's doing on the anniversary of Dr. King's speech.
Yeah, I'm trying to pretend that you didn't say that date. I'm really trying to pretend that just didn't happen.
Yeah, but it did, and I'm sorry, and we're going to have to just sort of deal with it in our own little existential nightmare.
Oh, good.
But the thing that drives me crazy out of that is that the right wing is gleefully funding it. Now, here's a dumb bastard who changes his hair color more often than some of us change socks, which is an indicator of, you know, a whole different psychological thing going on. But it's totally funded. And what we really do need, and I know you know the word, Chautauqua. I first picked it up when I picked up Robert Pirsig's Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, you know, Toward a New Chautauqua, that kind of thing. We need these traveling road shows. We need tent shows. If we've got to have a bit with a juggler and a dog, that's okay. But we need these, because we're by God not going to do it on the for-profit right-wing controlled media, Sandra.
Oh, I know. No, it's just the whole thing is just so horrifying.
But if you look, for instance, at the Alabama election results, maybe I'm making more out of this than I should. But, you know, Arthur Davis ran as hard as he could run away from Barack Obama and he didn't just get a little bit beat. He got his ass handed to him yesterday.
And Obama should be looking at that and thinking, what the F? That Negro got trounced. And he was triangulating, trying to be as right-wing as all them crackers down there. And it's like, oopsie, you're running in a Democratic primary, you a-hole. I was rolling. I thought,
You know, and coupled with, I think it was you who brought up Hillary the other day.
Yeah.
Who said, you know, the richer, you know, Brazil, the rich are getting richer, and they're taxing as a higher percentage of their GDP, and they're still getting richer and richer and richer, and that's Hillary. And you still... It's Hillary, like you. It's Hillary,
right?
And the power structure in this country is going ho hum. And I don't mean just the power structure, the so-called liberal power structure. You know, the liberal power structure that's willing to, you know, why buy the cow when you're getting the milk for free? That's willing to let the me's and the Mikes and people who would like to do liberal talk out there, you know, go damn hungry. Instead of building the great weight of that infrastructure that'll deliver that message, I don't care if it's in a World War II era canvas damn tent that you have to set up in the sweltering heat of Greenville, Alabama. By God, it needs to be set up, and those folks need to have a conversation. Jesus, but you can't send somebody down there who doesn't talk like them.
Well, not only that, but I mean, they're too busy, you know, writing on their blogs and, you know, preaching to the converted, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm really sort of starting to wince at the sort of blogosphere that we, you know, revel in. I'm just thinking, well, this ain't getting it done, people.
No, it's not. It's and the sad thing is that half the time it serves as an excuse to sit numbed behind your computer monitor and not do anything.
Well, exactly. You know, that's the main thing. Or you are like, you know, stuck on that foundation tit, you know. Fat and comfortable, doing all right. I don't know. I'm getting to a point where I'm just thinking, yeah, none of this is working so well. But that Alabama story is interesting. You're right about that. That guy, it's like, is there a lesson learned there, fool?
And you know, is there a lesson for everybody? Yes. You know, because, I mean, the white guy who won the Democratic gubernatorial nod, he said, listen, let's be clear about something. I was for the health care plan, and I am to this day, as I speak, for a public option.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's the thing. It's like, these people, Obama included, it's like the progressive agenda is much closer to what people need and want, even if they don't identify it as such.
How do you miss that? I mean, how do you not take that call, Sandra?
I really don't know, and it's just bizarre that every primary this time around, yeah, what's that freak who's his chief of staff?
Oh, Rahm.
Right, that needs to go away.
Yeah, Rahm, my boy's not an Arab scrubbing the floors, Emmanuel. Yeah.
That fool needs to go. Maybe he can, like I said before, now he can do some killing people on the flotillas. He can do that. But get out the White House.
And get out of Obama's way.
And Obama, I don't know what's going on. Because Branch, when is that runoff happening? In Arkansas.
That's a matter of weeks, a couple of weeks.
No, her shit could actually be run out of town.
Yeah, because Halter is still leading. Like, I mean, it's margin of error stuff, but it's 47% to 44%.
No, if an incumbent like her is like that, she's in trouble. You know what I'm saying?
You'd like to hope so. I mean, I know Move On has a huge ad push out there trying to raise $4 or $5 at a time. Because they say that Blanche still has millions in her war chest to spend in a last-minute blitz against Halter.
Oh, no, and she's definitely going to do it because she's the senator from Walmart. And soon enough, these people are going to start freaking
well,
out.
Let's, and again, let's bring into play the fact that this is all happening, and she is the senator from Walmart, and this is all happening in a whole new political landscape, Sandra, that we have not even begun to thoroughly fully comprehend, called Citizens United.
Well, yeah, and I do think that we may, I mean, this first election cycle, we'll get a look-see, but I do think the 2012 unless Congress comes to term with it in some way, is just going to be full-blown and even scarier.
Well, I'm beginning to have some hopes that things might not be as grim in November as they look to be. But, you know, frankly, I want them to be grim for the Blanche Lincolns of the world.
Oh, no, I need those sort of triangulating fake Democrats to lose, you know, and to become a Republican, which is what you are.
And the one question I don't have out of Alabama is, A, I don't think Arthur Davis can run for his seat and governor at the same time. So that means he's out of that House seat, which is out of West Tuscaloosa County, East Tuscaloosa County, West Jefferson County. And I want to know who the nominees are there, because
that could
be another Republican seat.
Well, it's interesting with him, because his ass was rolled into Washington behind the whole AIPAC and the whole, bumped up with the right-wing Jewish money.
And he's smart as a whip. You know, he's got that Harvard degree behind his name.
Yeah,
and to be that political a cold fish.
No, I just think these people, Obama included, they are starting to believe their own BS, and it's going to come back to bite them. Because trust me, this focus on this deficit shit now, which is what the billionaires want them to focus on, that's not playing too well, because everyone remembers that when they came crying that they needed $700 billion or the economy was going to fall apart, the government gave it to them. Now that they're nice and fat again, they're trying to dictate to us what we need to do about a deficit. Those people wrecked everything. How are we going to listen to them?
I don't know. And, you know, that's one of the things cooking with Blanche Lincoln is that she is being tattooed successfully as being one of these blue dog deficit hawk Democrats who wants to fix things that Bush broke by doing what Bush wanted done in the first place, to wit, raping Social Security.
Yeah, no, it's too much. I mean, I just think the whole thing is, but it's all going to be for naught if this oil is still going in 2012. And I'm sorry to say that, but I read this report from some physicist who said, hey, look, there's no reason to believe.
I read the same thing.
Oh, okay. And I thought, what the fuck? I'm sorry I've been cussing a lot, but I'm just like, are you kidding me with this? He's saying that they could have three whales and it may not hit. I'm thinking, oh, dear God.
Yeah, this is going to get real messy. What is this? He said this. There's every likelihood in the world that whatever they do, relief whale included, will not completely stop what this thing is doing. And then Jim brings up the issue of the Atlantis rig.
Yeah. Well, that's what, we had talked about that before, which is even deeper.
Yeah, this is so not working.
So, I don't know. I don't.
But, by the way, we closed the program last night with a brief comment, you and I, about this Supreme Court decision that came out yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta say one good thing. Did you see who wrote the dissent?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes. I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah, Sonia Sotomayor wrote the dissent, and she blistered him.
No, that was off the hook. I did. I had a look-see at it later, and I thought, well, I mean, at least it sort of identifies her in a fairly okay light, as far as I'm concerned. Because she's not even doing anything that's called liberal. She just calling BS for what it is.
Well, yeah, and while we're at it, she's doing what she swore under oath she would do, Sandra, and that is to uphold stare decisis.
Oh, God. Yeah, I see, every time you say that, I can see that fake Boy Scout face Robert saying it. He was so sickening.
Oh, with those watery blue bird of prey eyes. Yeah, those.
Looking like something from The Boys from Brazil. He's a horror show. I remember when he fell over? I don't know. You don't know how closely you follow this. Remember he fell over a couple of years ago?
Yep.
I was hoping he would stay down. I knew he was horrible, but then my people.
God, you're... I'm so glad you can do that for me. It takes so much heat off my ass, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's fine, because I know I'm just a caller. Yeah, I don't want to... Yes, I'll take that.
But, okay, well, yeah, that and, you know, that and Alito sitting there in sitting there fielding softball questions from Lindsey Closet Graham. I am not a racist misogynist. And his wife sitting back there shedding crocodile tears, wearing that suit made from the upholstery of a 1959 Edsel.
Yeah, that was terrible. That was just, I mean, it was just so blatant. That's why I'm just sort of, you know, extra upset, you know, with this Dyke question mark, whatever the hell is coming up. Because, I mean, come on. They could have picked someone straight out anyway.
And the brutal reminder here is that, yeah, he got a nomination through with Sotomayor. He'll probably get Elena Kagan through. But he's still just, I mean, even assuming for a moment that she's every bit as good as Stevens, which that's an assumption I'm not willing to make. But even making that assumption, he's still just treading water, because until he replaces either Kennedy or one of the rats, he hasn't made any progress.
No, but what's-his-face is pretty damn old.
Oh, Scalia?
Yeah.
God, late 70s.
Yeah, and these people live such a
that's late 70s, having lived a life of the pasta bolognese, you know. Yeah, more get a little more of that freshly grated Parmigiano Reggiano, Tony.
Oh shit, you know, probably one of his parents are still alive.
Well, you know, fascists do die hard unless they get a little help.
Oh, damn. Anyway, listen, I'm sure you have other people, so I'll let you go.
Well, bless your heart. I tell you what, this was a fun one. And
yep.
So much ground to cover, Sandra.
So much. Okay, take care.
All right, later. Bye now.
Bye.
Calling from Sacramento, that's our buddy Sandra. It is 8 minutes past the hour of 8 here on the East Coast. We will take a little break, just so I won't sound like I've spent my life gargling razor blades. I said it, and John Fox made it happen. Wishing well. Yeah. Why not? It's a kind of a poppy night on the horn. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're free to chime in. A couple of lines open. This is the horn. We'll be back.
Thank you. Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is a public service announcement. We'll get
there's a new type of music program coming to the Horn.
Got a letter from the government the other day. Opened it and read it. It said they were suckers.
They wanted me about a summer or whatever. Picture me buying the scam. I said never. But I won't heed the battle call.
Music for liberals. Music for activists. Music with a social conscience.
Take me down K Street.
The People's Mixtape.
Johnny's dead and Mitch has gone and Kelly have to lose that on the list and then goes on and on.
Coming soon to the Head On Radio Network.
But your flag gal won't get you into heaven anymore.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
And by the way, add to that list of odd little sea changes in the American political landscape that I hope to hell somebody out there is paying attention to, you know, besides us. Almost 17 minutes past the hour. Did you see the story coming out of Kentucky? The Republican-controlled Kentucky Senate, the state senate of Kentucky, the states that they're the Commonwealth Senate of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, passed a non-binding civil rights bill specifically in response and opposition to Rand Paul. Tell me, yeah, Clayton reminding me of that. Tell me that ain't just a little bit weird. there's some stuff afoot out there that could be taken advantage of if we have the common sense that God gave a salted snail to do. And, of course, that is the $64 million question, if we have the common sense to take advantage of it. With our side, that's always the $64 million question. Let's see. One thing to throw out there before I go back to the phones, and I am going back to the phones. I just had just weird stuff out there. Stuff that indicates that there is a general failure of the center of the right-wing universe to hold. They fragmented and teabagged themselves, I think, into exhaustion. The Kirk story coming out of Illinois. Resident satirist, Internet's most brilliant satirist, dear friend of ours, Eugene Finnerman, writing today, the red badge of Kirkage. You know, under different circumstances, I'd say I want to have Eugene Finnerman's babies. Red badge of Kirkage. Come on. That's, you can't buy that. Lord, that's restaurant quality. Eugene writing, my congressman and aspiring senator is Mark Kirk. He represents Illinois' bland and somewhat smug North Shore suburbs, where our teen drug dealers are just earning the tuition and course credits to become anesthesiologists. Here, the Republicans are Tories. They'll concede that Darwin was right if unfortunately tactless. A vice president of the Rotary Club does not want to be reminded of his Australopithecine relatives in Africa. This is a bellwether district with a sizable number of Jewish voters. I did mention the future anesthesiologists. The pragmatic Mr. Kirk has proved very ecumenical and gives the impression that he co-sponsored the Torah, or at least the Balfour Declaration. And heretofore, Mr. Kirk has also been very fortunate. The Democratic candidate for the Senate seems to be a 14-year-old you wouldn't trust with a paper route. As long as Kirk didn't swing regressively right and try mating with Sarah Palin, I was thinking of voting for him. Eugene, tell me it's not so. But never underestimate a politician's vanity. Kirk decided to inflate his military record. He actually had one, a reservist in naval intelligence. The man had to serve in Italy during the Kosovo conflict. Don't dismiss his peril. Vesuvius could have erupted. And his unit received a commendation for its paperwork. However, Congressman Kirk decided that he alone deserved that award and claimed it in speeches and in his biography. Aside from monopolizing the award, he embellished it, anointing himself Intelligence Officer of the Year. See, this part isn't satire. This is straight reportage from Eugene. What a pity that the Navy's records did not quite concur with Kirk's. The congressman could denounce the Navy as just a bunch of New York liberals, and he may yet. So far, he says that there was a clerical mistake. His website stated that he had won the Intelligence Officer of the Year. Apparently, Kirk read it, and since the Internet is renowned for its accuracy, he assumed that it was true and began mentioning his award. Believe it or not, he's still sticking by that story. He won't be getting an intelligence award this year, but that has never, never been a criterion for election to the United States Senate. Seriously, do you remember the kerfuffle and the kittens with crocheted tails that were had all over the body politic over, what was his name, Blumenthal in Connecticut? And that didn't actually turn out to be him out there just lying like a rug? Whereas Kirk, it turns out, is lying like a rug, and the Republicans all of a sudden aren't so interested in these stories of phony baloney military accolades anymore? Maybe Congressman Kirk got the Navy Intelligence Officer of the Year award with wide stance clusters. Who knows? But the Republicans aren't the least bit interested anymore. It's been a long time, by the way, speaking tangentially of morons. It's been a long time since we had occasion to share a few moments with Michael the Savage Wiener. This one, you get the sense that he has just been sitting there weeping into his own cupped palms over the fact that Glenn Beck has taken his shtick and turned it into a whole new level and a whole new brand of crazy. And that he's able to do it without the heavy accent that's so off-putting to you know, the Klansman in the South that, that the Savage Wiener really would love to reach. The other night he said he couldn't remember, you may have seen this on Olbermann, the other night he said he couldn't remember if any president had ever resigned. Nixon? Nixon? Bueller? You know. This is from a guy who once... What I wouldn't give for this audio. I think it predates Media Matters, so it's probably not out there. This is from a guy who explained that the Mexicans were dangerous because the German Nazis brought them accordions. You never heard no accordions in Mexican music till after the Second World War. God. Oh, I'd love to have that clip. No, he really said it. When David in Tennessee first told me that story, I about collapsed inward on myself like some sort of earthbound neutron star engaging in. Oh my God, I was just about to start emitting my own radio signals. Accordions, Nazis, Mexicans. But that's okay because the Savage Wiener, while he is getting eclipsed by Glenn Beck, who can go from zero to Nazi in 3.7 seconds, he's still in the race, and he's still trying. He's still, you know, he's still the little fascist who tried. And he now has an explanation for what went terribly, terribly wrong when the Israeli the Navy SEALs or whatever they were decided to go all pirate in international waters. You couldn't pay for this on a dare. You couldn't buy this written or said. This is natural from the right wing. Come on, Michael. Where are you, buddy? You gotta be there. There he is.
Big story is the Israel story, and you've all been waiting to hear what I, Michael Savage, have to say about it. And I think it's going to surprise you. You probably expect a knee-jerk response from me, but you're never going to get that from me. Because I'm not a knee-jerk guy.
Accordions.
Hard, and I watched it, and I couldn't believe what I was watching. And I don't believe either side on this, by the way. Both sides are putting out their own spin. But the most important story is this. Why is it that Israel, with such a vaunted intelligence service such as Mossad, could not have known that, A, there were no weapons on these ships, which they claimed there were weapons and they had intercepted for that reason. Turns out there were no weapons on the ships. B, why did Israel intercept these ships in international waters rather than in coastal territorial waters, which would have given them a certain legality, which they didn't have in invading these ships in international waters? Number three, did you know that the Navy SEALs, the Israeli Naval SEALs, were rappelled onto the decks of these ships without weaponry? They had paintball guns that came out of an Israeli website.
One wonders where the guns with the bullets came from.
Guns. They were told not to shoot, even though they were being beaten. Moreover, why were they not released as a group of five or six SEALs who could have covered each other's back rather than one at a time? Huh? Did you think about it?
Because the helicopters would run into each other, Mike?
Now, my question becomes a comment. The questions I just asked are very important. But the questions lead to this.
This is worth the wait, I promise.
Did Israel dangle their soldiers like bait in a tank of sharks? You can write that one down.
Oh, we will, Michael. We will.
The Israeli soldiers dangled like bait into a tank of sharks by the Israeli leaders who thought that they'd get good PR out of a dead commando or two.
Like I said, this is worth the wait. Sharks. That's what those nonviolent peace activists were. Sharks. Without any teeth. Their dorsal fins cut off for soup. Sharks.
Or a butchered commando hanging there, butchered by the peace activists. But it went bad for them. Now, you know that Israel stopped a flotilla of ships bringing supplies to Gaza. You know this flotilla of ships was sent by a Turkish organization.
Now, I thought you might want to hear this, just to hear what the... Hear how the right... Because remember, last night we had the account of the right wing spinning this in such fashion as to say that there is no humanitarian crisis in Gaza, and I took the time to explain that there's no humanitarian crisis in Gaza because the right wing and the Israelis don't consider the living beings who inhabit Gaza to be humans, hence no humanitarian crisis. But I continue. Or no, let's let the savage wiener.
That has now become, in essence, Islamist. Turkey was our NATO ally. Many people said Turkey should never have been admitted into NATO. Now you know why. They become increasingly Islamist. Now this flotilla is sent to break Israel's blockade of the Gaza Strip and deliver aid to Hamas. The Israelis warn the flotilla to stop, but the pro-Palestinian ships continue toward Gaza. Then the Israeli naval SEALs board the Turkish ships by helicopter, and they try to take control. Then everything goes wrong. Troops board the ships, but they were seemingly unprepared for the response that they got. The men on board the ships attacked them with clubs, pipes, bats, and knives. They were beaten severely. What's more, the commandos were armed only with paintball guns and were told to try and verbally convince the activists not to resist. Purely insane, something you'd expect from either Obama or Bush. And only after this initial attempt to board did the Israelis have to use guns, and then after a 30-minute shootout, the ships are taken over. In the attack on the flotilla, 9 activists were killed, dozens were injured, and many of the Israeli soldiers were injured but not killed. So why did this happen? Does Israel even understand that they're engaged in a war? It seems that the Israeli Navy could have easily done the following. And you're getting this from a talk show host in America, not a defense minister, not a president. Has anyone asked why Israel...
No, a guy. You're getting this from a guy suffering from the mental after effects of tertiary syphilis, but never mind.
Well, did not simply disable the propellers of the ships and the flotilla.
Dummy. They planned to do that with the other 5 ships, but the one was entirely too large for that little tactic to work with, but never mind.
And tow them to Ashdod? Why did they have to board the ship to begin with? Who made this decision? So if they made the decision to board, then they send guys aboard with paintball guns, then they send them aboard one at a time. You have to ask yourself, did these schmucks do it on purpose in order to dangle their soldiers like bait in a tank of piranhas? And what did they want to...
We've gone from sharks to piranhas. I'm not sure if that's an upgrade or a downgrade. You figure it out.
What they want is the soldiers to be butchered so they can hold them up in there and say, look what the evil Palestinians did to the poor Jews. Is that possible? Like worms in front of the activists? Michael Savage believes these soldiers may have been betrayed for political purposes by their...
Why does he refer to himself in the third person? What if I spent 3 hours doing this show referring to... Bob Kincaid says, I mean, Jesus, it's straight out of Seinfeld. George Costanza! George is not happy!
Government. I believe they were prevented from disabling the ships. I believe they were led to believe that those on the ship would be peaceful.
I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows.
And that they were not armed. So someone in the Israeli military or the Israeli government should be fired. Someone must answer for putting these brave soldiers into harm's way for the wrong reasons. As far as I know, it was Obama's administration.
There it is! Back up. I got so caught up in Whitney Houstoning that I almost let it slide by. Come on, Michael.
What they want is the soldiers to be butchered so they can hold them up in there and say, look what the evil Palestinians did to the poor Jews. Is that possible? Like worms in front of the activists? Michael Savage believes these soldiers may have been betrayed for political purposes by their own government. I believe they were prevented from disabling the ships. I believe they were led to believe that those on the ship would be peaceful and that they were not armed. So someone in the Israeli military or the Israeli government should be fired. Someone must answer for putting these brave soldiers into harm's way for the wrong reasons. As far as I know, it was Obama's administration that told them how to do this attack. It was probably one of America's peace-loving generals. Who knows which one of them did it?
Ain't that charming? As far as I know. What a beautiful little caveat to making a statement that is just plain old-fashioned crazy. As far as I know, the Obama administration told them how to do it. As far as I know. As far as I know. Which in essence means, as with any 3-hour segment of the Michael Savage Wiener program, it's complete made-up bullshit. It just is. Because he's nuts and evil and fascist and his ego is sorely bruised. He is desperately trying to come up. And see, I remarked upon this once upon a time. The right wing gets caught in this ever-descending or ascending spiral of lunacy in which they struggle to one-up each other's nutcasedness. And so Michael Savage finds himself caught in that lunatic trap. As far as I know, as far as I know, one of those Rudbachans told the Israelis to just drop down there with paint guns and no guns. Now, granted, nine of those peace activists got blown away with real live bullets. They were not killed by paintballs. But, you know, God only knows how the guns got down there. But, of course, the Israelis are saying that they caught people with empty guns, you know, guns with no magazines in them. So that proved that they shot, never mind the fact that they were Israeli military weapons. Sometimes it's almost too much trying to keep up with the crazy. But you got to kind of at least make the passing attempt at it, right? Meanwhile, just to throw this out there for your consideration, further evidence of the tendency toward trying to make one's bones in the right-wing radio business by being unabashedly evil, crazy, nuts, whacked, profoundly disturbed, however you care to describe it, I offer up a radio host by the name of Michael Berry, who a week ago on his radio show, for lack of a better word, on KTRH AM in Houston, Texas, Michael Berry declared with regard to the building of a mosque in New York City, "You can't. And I'll tell you this. If you do build a mosque, I hope somebody blows it up. I hope the mosque isn't built. And if it is, I hope it's blown up. And I mean that. It's right-wing radicals like me that are going to keep this country safe for you and everyone else from the people who are flying the planes from the country you fled from. If you want to identify with those people, go live with them." He was addressing a caller who said, you know, "What's so terrible about building a mosque in New York?" And, of course, it's a legitimate question, which goes to prove that the right wing sees the First Amendment as applying only to Christians, and particularly to their sick and virulent, pustulant form of a perversion of Christianity. "If you do build a mosque, I hope somebody blows it up. I hope the mosque isn't built, and if it is, I hope it's blown up, and I mean that." Meanwhile, we go from Houston, Texas to Brentwood, Tennessee. Williamson County, Tennessee, was going to be the site of the first mosque, its first mosque ever. The group wishing to build the mosque went back. To the county government and agreed to restriction after restriction on how they would go about building their mosque so as not to offend the surrounding community. You know, like not having speakers warbling the call to prayer at all hours of the day and night, which is a reasonable time, place, and manner restriction on free speech because, you know, people do like to sleep sometimes and don't like having other religions jam down their throats. Try to tell that to the bell ringers in the Christian churches. They went back. They got restriction. And what happened? Right-wing sons of bitches in Williamson County started a hate campaign, alleging even that the people who wanted to build the mosque, who had no connection to anything, just people of the Islamic faith who wanted a place to worship, you know, kind of like what the First Amendment guarantees, you know, not the, right, told lies. The haters told lies. Oh, these are terrorists. And finally, the people who wanted to build the mosque just gave up and withdrew their plans. Jawed Ansari, a Brentwood physician, a physician who has probably treated some of these sick right-wing bigoted bastards and has never once thought, maybe while he's on the table I can kill the infidel. Never once. Not once. But Jawed Ansari, Dr. Jawed Ansari, a physician in Brentwood, Tennessee, who was involved in the mosque project, said, you know, there comes a time when you have to say we can't do this anymore. I wonder if Williamson County would like it if Dr. Jawed Ansari bailed out. I don't know what kind of medicine Jawed Ansari practices. Maybe he's a plastic surgeon. Maybe he's a family physician. Maybe he delivers babies for Christian families. But whatever he is, I wonder if the folks in Williamson County would like for him to go the hell away and leave their beloved right-wing bigots in extremis. Same story in Alpharetta, Georgia. The city council of Alpharetta voted unanimously to deny an application by the Islamic Center of North Fulton to expand their mosque. Parwaiz Iqbal protested the decision, saying, if we are denied a decent place of worship, you might as well hang a banner here in downtown Alpharetta that Muslims are not welcome in this city. Just give them a couple of days and they will. Ignore that and you'll wind up strange fruit hanging from southern trees. But Michael Savage, that was the Obama administration. For all I know, it was the Obama administration that planned that assault on the flotilla. Sick, 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 sick bastards. Of course, you say, well, you know, I mean, like Michael Berry, Michael Savage, it's all protected speech. Those are the public airwaves this is being said over. Let me give you an example of a different time just for the fun of it. I'm going back to the phones. I really, really am. A different time in America. Some would say better, some would say worse. But certainly a different time in America. We go back to the 1930s. The late 1930s. And the late, great Mae West, who was a pioneer, an absolute pioneer of tolerance for gay issues and sexual issues and racial issues. She appeared on a radio show on the NBC radio network in the late 1930s. She was in a sketch with Don Ameche, in which Don Ameche played Adam and Mae West played Eve on the radio, the sketch being set in the Garden of Eden. And somewhere along the way in the sketch, she told Don Ameche, go and get me a big one. I feel like doing a big apple. Yeah, I know, my Mae West sucks. Within days of the broadcast, NBC was awash in letters that referred to the show as immoral, and obscene. Women's clubs and Catholic groups descended like a plague of locusts upon the Chase and Sanborn Coffee Company for accusing the coffee company of prostituting their services for allowing, quote, impurity to invade the air. The Federal Communications Commission got involved and deemed the broadcast, remember, the words were, go and get me a big one. I feel like doing a big apple. The FCC deemed that broadcast vulgar and indecent, went on to say it was, quote, far below even the minimum standard which should control in the selection and production of broadcast programs. Mae West was effectively blacklisted from any sort of radio presence for the next 12 years, and if you weren't on radio in 1937, you weren't doing diddly. That was deemed vulgar and below the minimum standards, for decency on the airwaves. But Michael Berry gets behind the microphone and says, I hope they blow up the mosque. I hope they build it. I hope they blow it up. And he's still getting his paycheck. And he's going to keep getting his paycheck. And Glenn Beck can refer to Jewish survivors of the Holocaust as Nazi enablers. And that's okay, too. And you wonder why the political climate, you wonder why the modern political climate is such as it is. Hey, welcome to the program.
This is Dr. Michael Savage, and I just want to say to all you liberals out there that you're non-white. That's right, he's half Irish. The other guy, half Irish, President Barack Obama, caused all this flotilla murder stuff there. And furthermore, our Israeli
nation. Yeah, red diaper dopa babies. That's what they are, red diaper dopa babies.
They only had paintball guns, and that's why all those Limeys and those Turks and those Jewish Holocaust survivors, those elderly Jews, Jewish Israeli citizens there, that's why they caused such harm to special forces, elite special forces. So, nah, it's all Obama's fault. And, okay, I'll cut right there, Bob. That's Brian from New Hampshire. Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, yeah, you're still there. I'm here, but I'm never all there, of course. But
you're too hard on yourself.
Yeah, that's a good. This reminds me of back when I was I went for a short time to Emerson College, Communication College in Boston, Massachusetts. There's before I went on to Harvard Extension School and as a career scholar or whatever the hell I thought I was, Hannity I thought I was. Excuse my language. But I made a public service announcement film called Join the Israeli Special Forces. I had like a big Stetson-style brown cowboy hat on with a big black yarmulke on top of it. That's part of my ancestry is Jewish from Russia, from the what is now the former Soviet Union. And so I had like a Rambo type of knife. It was actually, I think it was a kitchen knife or something. in the sheath and all that nonsense. It was in the late 80s there, so it was still heavily influenced by the Ronald Reagan, a lobotomy effect on the American pop culture, including idiots like me, young film students like me. But the fact was, I would make a Chuck Norris action type pose there, and then I would start praying and bending over and bowing my head repeatedly like a very devout Jew or a rabbinical student, et cetera, at the Wailing Wall in Israel.
Davening, I think, is the word.
Yeah, but then I would show a book there. This was and that's what they showed. It's just something that if people ever saw that, the other students there, they might pick up that book. It's by, if you have any Jewish person, this book is called Halakhic Man by Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik. He was a World War II Holocaust survivor, a Lithuanian Jew, and a great thinker of Judaism. And in 1944, when he wrote most of this book, or most of the first drafts of it, he was talking about a Christ-like individual there. Talk about somebody totally separated from those people there that murdered that peaceful flotilla. talk about the difference there. He, in 1944, he wrote this too. Remember, as a Lithuanian Jew and a spiritual leader of his people there, that the Lithuanian SS was one of the worst collaborators with Hitler's invaders and the Germans. But he was talking about forgiveness for the German people. There are many good German people. They just don't have control of things. He was saying that we had to keep in mind that the German people are a peaceful people. He cites a historical example of it. But the fact is, in Halakhic Man, I thought also just that even though I'm trying, it was a stupid comedic film. I was trying to get people, if they saw that title of that book, that interesting title, it's kind of an exotic word, Halakhic Man, Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik. You know, they might even also read the book too there, because the guys, you know, looking at my student film, they say, well, okay, Brian's an idiot, but he means well. But there's just I just thought of that as I was listening to you do the Michael, you know, the Dr. Michael Savage bit there with he's such a showy, vicious, hateful man, and
such a pathetic fraud into the bargain, yeah. Brian.
I know, but he's also deceptively thoughtful and manipulative. That's like that he's on a he's a bit above them. But they're the same type of person as a Glenn Beck, of course, to manipulate people's anger and our rage so we can scapegoat. Usually it's the weakest people or the most well-intended people in society. And the fact is, I was just reading a piece here, talking again about the attack on the flotilla by the Israeli, the pirate attack, the murderous pirate terrorist attack, state terrorist attack on the flotilla there. On May 31st, I'm reading a piece by Robert Fisk. I was listening to
a podcast. Oh, what a treasure he is.
Yeah, and at the Independent of the UK, his piece there from June 1st, Western leaders are too cowardly to help save lives. And then he talks back about it, talk about another great time in American history that when we really were an honorable people there. He just a couple of quick sentences, then I'll let you go. I'll let you get the other callers. I've had too much airtime in the past few days. I want to let you have others. But he says, to quote Mr. Fisk, you only have to read the gutless White House statement that the Obama administration was, quote, working to understand the circumstances surrounding the tragedy, unquote. Not a single word of condemnation. And that's it. 9 dead. Just another statistic to add to the Middle East toll. But it's not. In 1948, now he's getting to the Berlin airlift here. In 1948, our politicians, the Americans and the British, staged an airlift into Berlin. A starving population. He puts in parentheses, our enemies only 3 years before. Again, Nazi Germany, like I was just talking about with the Rabbi Soloveitchik's book there. Our enemies only 3 years before were surrounded by a brutal army, the Russians, who had erected a fence around the city. The Berlin airlift was one of the great moments in the Cold War. Our soldiers and our airmen risked and gave their lives for these starving Germans. Incredible, isn't it? In those days, our politicians took decisions, our leaders took decisions to save lives. Mr. Zatley and Truman, President Truman was our president then, Mr. Zatley and Truman knew that Berlin was important in moral and human as well as political terms. It goes on from there. It's a great piece there, and it puts it's in the Independent from June 1st, www.
Shoot me that link, would you?
Yeah, www.independent.co.uk, then /opinion and commentators, and then Fisk / you know, it goes up. But just go to the Independent. It's one of the leading stories on there right now. And it just and Mike also had, I guess he had that. He's somebody, he's a nice man, but I just think he's a total, he's got a book out there. The talk show host Bill Press is just coming out. He's got a book out called Toxic Talk. And it talks about it. Maybe he's finally woken up to the dangers of the Glenn Becks and the Savages and the Limbaughs and these fascists. Like you mentioned Father Coughlin last night. These guys are 1,000 times worse because they're so much more manipulative, and they have so much. Their right wing corporations that back them have so much near total control of the media that we have to be fearful of them and be on guard. And always be truth seekers, like a good Malloy listener is, and of course a head-on radio listener is. But he's a toxic talk by Bill Press. But I've always thought of him too much as being too much of a nice guy to these right wingers, in the corporatist, and the ever since the I believe we've had the fascist regime in this country. Like I say, since at least December 12th of 2000, when his daddy Supreme Court put the inbred blue blood named George W. Bush in the office, and he's been too nice. And he was when he's talking to Mike last night. And I may get the book eventually. His good friend Patrick Buchanan. Now here's Pat Buchanan. You know,
that raises the bile, doesn't it?
Yeah. When they were co-host on Crossfire for time to time, and then it was John Sununu Senior there, the former governor here of New Hampshire, and then it was Bob Novak, of course. But he said he never got into it with Novak and Sununu. Each one time they got into a personal attack upon him, Bill Press. And that's because you're too much of a nice guy, Bill, to these you don't hit them with the facts that should be embarrassing these right-wing liars. But the fact is, he said he never got into a personal argument with Patrick Buchanan during the years of that show. He went off it in 1996 when Buchanan ran again for the president. But he doesn't mention things like, I believe it was in 1992 when Buchanan was running, too, also as an independent or whatever party candidate he was. He went to a white Confederate cemetery there around Atlanta or somewhere in the south there. I believe it was right around Atlanta, Bob. And he visited that cemetery, and the other people in the press were just saying, well, just across the street here, there's a black Union soldier cemetery too, Pat. Are you going to visit that cemetery too? And he refused. He didn't want to upset his base. You know,
No, and his base are very clearly defined set of Klansmen.
Yeah. The white Confederate soldier cemetery. He just wanted to go there. Again, it's like, it's almost on some levels, it's worse than President Reagan going to that Bitburg cemetery on some levels, because Reagan...
Well, it's a larger slap in the face.
Yeah. And so he's not up. Pat Buchanan, there's nothing... He's like a lot of my Irish uncles are, like Padraic Buchanan there. They hate everybody, so they're very democratic about how they... You know, they'll make fun of every ethnic group, including their own. So there's something very charming about that, like Archie Bunker, you know. But at the same time, some people find that charming, and he's a more illiterate version of that, I suppose, Pat Buchanan. But he's not that... There's nothing thoughtful in any book of his I've ever read... But the fact is, Pat Buchanan is not he's a dangerous guy, too, in his own way. He's just more outright, I guess, about some of his hatred there. He is an anti-Semite. He still calls gay people sodomites. You know, they're sodomites, and he doesn't believe in equal rights for such people. And it's disgusting. So Bill Press has got he's got to be less collaborator with these people. There, he's too much like Alan Colmes was for years. He was the puppet for Sean Hannity, you know, that talk show host from hell. I always say instead of H-E-L-L or H-blank-L-L, to Hannity with all of you. Because I think a talk show host like Sean Hannity, that's what he talks about being such a holy, whatever Mike Malloy has the nickname for him for the holy boy or altar boy or whatever, but the guy...
Oh, the baby Jesus?
Evil, divisive language is what Sean Hannity always uses, and it's thoughtless, intellectual laziness, too. It just always find somebody to blame for your own problems there and in your own life, and just blame... It with no substantiation, no nothing in fact, only the right-wing lies that they're taken as Bible by Sean Hannity. But I'll let you go, Bob, but that is a great piece there by Robert Fisk. You got to go look that up there, and... I believe he's from Manchester, England, too. And going back, the history of that, I guess it's Mam, that's the Celtic for mother, basically, and Kiester is like you were saying, the anglicized for the Castra, the Latin, and also, but we have like a near, we, you know, like I say in my email to you, the Manchester, New Hampshire is a nearby big city here in New Hampshire, too. It's like the Boston of New Hampshire. And then there's a nearby small town of Chester, New Hampshire there, and that has a different origin. And when you do like the anglicized Latin version of something, or the when you try to do it in the original Roman Latin and you try to anglicize it, it's not the same translation, right? I lost my Latin English dictionary, but I know I knew there was something, but I guess it's that mam for it could be for. It's Celtic for mother, it could be, or for woman's breast, or for, you know, the life-giving. It's the in either in Welsh Gaelic, British, Briton Celtic, or the Irish Gaelic. But that's the Kiester, is like you're saying, it does have the Latin roots there. And he's from that area originally. There's a lot of history. Like I emailed you that story on the history of Manchester. It's the fourth largest city, but it's the city where Marx and Engels first met, and there's so much history to Manchester. It really is the second city behind London.
Oh, it was. Yeah, I read the history. It was fascinating. Yeah. And by the way, you're getting some kudos. Just got an email in from Jim. He said, Brian's institutional knowledge and ability to apply and synthesize constantly amaze me. Kudos to Brian. So, Brian, have yourself a good evening, and we will talk soon, okay?
Good night, sir.
All right, later. Bye now. And I hate to say it because I'm sitting here looking at four blinking lights, but we're out of show. So just are. A quick reminder for you. There's a new column up from our buddy Reverbo over at headonradionetwork.com under the working title that Reverbo operates with, A Cavalcade of Crazy. Not particularly political. But that is neither damning with faint praise nor overt condemnation. He shot me a link to it, and I read it and just sat there and chuckled merrily along. Reverbo has a tremendous ability to find wit in wonderful places, and in this particular instance, he has struck gold. A Cavalcade of Crazy goes to a book sale. You must go to headonradionetwork.com. You must. And give it a read. Give it a comment if you want to, if we're to the point where we can do that yet. I'm not quite sure because I get kind of lost in all the technical minutia. But you can read it, and you can enjoy it, and you can send it around to friends and neighbors and build some traffic around it. A Cavalcade of Crazy goes to a book sale from our dear friend, Reverbo. You got to read it so he'll keep writing it, okay? That's how this kind of stuff works. But I know you know that. But that's the program for this evening. A gentle reminder. We are into our June fundraising, and I will be gone for at least half of next week. So I have to hit it hard while I can this week. Otherwise, we will find ourselves on dry and desperate days in my absence. You know the drill. We try to raise $2,000 a month to keep the horn going. That's what it takes. It's actually less than what it takes, but it's what we ask. And the rest of it, we try to make up. And when we don't even make the $2,000, we make up more of it out of our own hide. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. Feel free to use it or the snail mail address that is also there, both under the tab called Contribute. And for those of you who regularly or semi-regularly or just as able contribute, please know that you have our eternal and sincere thanks. Truly. And our thanks for your calls, your participation in the chat room, your emails. I love it all. You're the ones who make this all worth doing. And not just my show, but all the other shows that have been and yet will be on the horn. Thanks to everybody who makes the horn go, from Lottie in the chat room to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, our blogger, Texas Betsy, our Southeast correspondent. Good to hear from him tonight. Matt Osborne, Osborne Inc., OSBORNEINK.com. My head writer is David in Tennessee. And, of course, the show happens in part also because of the participation of the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. You know, I say those websites a lot. Go look. See what the work is that Coal River Mountain Watch does, because it is so incredibly important and so very difficult. And your support, and I don't necessarily mean money, but just a little note saying, hey, you know, I hear about you guys all the time on the horn with Bob, and we value what you do. That matters. It really, really does matter. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And what a busy night we have tonight, without a doubt. You know what? I could probably just start talking now and filibuster for 3 solid hours till my throat was drier than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. Honest to God, weird has gone sideways in the world. Weird. Well, Hunter Thompson, bless his name. Said, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. The right wing has gone pro. From crazier than a sprayed roach, Republicans dummying up their military history to children dummying up their parents. We have it, to say the least, in rich abundance. We have, in fact, an embarrassment of riches this evening as we get the show underway. Because, of course, you know, it's fitting that we should be so blessed on a day such as this. No, not because it's the second day of June, but because the second day of June just happens to fall on a Wednesday. And we know here at the Horn that Wednesday is ever so much more. Ever so much more than merely the middle of the week. Hump day, downhill to Friday. No, 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 brethren and sistren, no. No. Here at the Horn, recognizing my own personal history and failings and all that I learned at the loving knee of the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Baptist church. Oh, well, you know, Wednesday's prayer meeting. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, brethren and sistren. Glory, put your hands together. And Mr. Choirmaster, if you would come over and lead us in our offertory hymn as the plate is passing among the faithful. Yeah, that's it. Come on over. Cut it loose, minister of music.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet
when
it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christine.
said religion should be free.
Oh, mares-y dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey a kiddly divey too. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren. Welcome. Come on, just don't stand out there smoking in front of the church. You know how it is. You know how the sinners are when they see you a smoking before you walk into the church. Come on in out of that vestibule, sister. Sister Eula will have plenty of time to catch you up on the doings of her niece what done run off with the Pakistani after the service is over. Get on in here and come on down that blood red aisle. Yes, indeedy. Fall on your knees, sinner. Fall on your knees at the altar and place your hands on subwoofer and feel that divine, delicious connection to the server of common sense on high. This is the cathedral of high common sense, and I am Bishop, Archbishop, Uber Pope, Bob Kincaid, and it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, Glory. So, brethren and sisters, where do we stand this evening? Where are we in the firmament? Oh, it is a weird, weird world we live in. And sometimes, like I've said so many times before, I feel downright prophetic. Because it was just a couple of nights ago, it was the special, almost 4-hour-long edition of The Horn on Memorial Day night, when I mentioned the fact that there's some press being had about police in Aceh province in Indonesia.